the grants to groups that had religious names or religious
mission. Wink and a nod.
Not just religious groups, Christian groups. And right. Anyone who wasn't Christian, we just tossed those grants away.
And to be clear, David Coyle used to be head of the whole faith-based initiative.
So yeah, he was the number two man.
Who knows what he's talking about? He was number two
And he's a very religious
person. But someone who doesn't think that there should be discrimination.
Right.
Now, this is a problem in private industry as well. You have, if a boss says to an employee, we're having a prayer session, it's voluntary, you can go if you want.
Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Well, we're getting a little bit of an early start this evening. Our good friends over at Quality News Network have been having trouble getting their newscasts out all day. So we just decided to start at 6 o'clock and say to heck with it. And that's what we're doing. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the beginning of our Independence Day week. It is, of course, the second day of July 2007. And there is breaking news. Well, God, I don't know exactly how to characterize this, because it's only showing up at Fox News. Okay, so take it with a grain of salt. Although you got to figure that, considering the fact that the homicidal Bush regime favors Fox News, that they would feed this kind of information to Fox News first to give them the scoop. But there's no story to go with it. It's just an orange banner at the top of the page. Breaking news. Bush to commute Scooter Libby's prison sentence. I repeat. Bush to commute Scooter Libby's prison sentence. How do you react to that? My first reaction, like father, like son. Casper Weinberger could have dropped the dime and sent George Bush the senior to the prison sentence that he so richly deserved. So instead, well, you know what happened. Pappy Bush, well, he pardoned Cap and all of the Weinberger, that evil old SOB, and all of his Iran-Contra cronies. Gave him a walk so that he could stay out of prison, he Bush. Well, it's a little bit the same thing, isn't it? It's a whole lot the same thing. Who am I kidding? You see, Scooter Libby has the goods. Scooter Libby, now that... And see, we had to wait. We had to wait. Because... today, the story hit the wires. The D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled unanimously that Scooter had to go to prison while his appeal is pending. The last recourse would have been an appeal to John Roberts, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, personally. Rather than wait for that eventuality, it appears that dear leader will exercise his pardon powers. And, you know, I know the difference between a pardon and a commutation. This breaking news headline says Bush to commute Scooter Libby's prison sentence. That theoretically, that would leave the conviction in place, but it would forego the prison sentence. What do you think about that? How does it make you feel? Now, this is a reality-based program, so one must... I value your thoughts more than I do your feelings, to be quite honest. But either one is welcome. Now, we've got some new guidelines. No, these are just facts. If you want to reach the program, it's 304-658-5912. 304-658-5912. And I want to hear from you. We can't impeach him over this. Why are we even talking about impeachment? We don't have anybody capable of doing impeachment in the leadership in the House of Representatives. As we noted from the program this past Friday evening, Nancy Pelosi is still not interested in it. And Barack Obama, Senator Barack Obama, who would be, assuming that impeachment ever took place, Barack Obama, as a member of the Senate, would sit as the jury, as a member of the jury. And he's prejudged the case by saying, well, I don't think we should use impeachment. It should only be for grave breaches of law and not breaches of judgment. Wasn't that the smarmy BS that he put out the other day? So he's compromised himself with regard to how the process would work. You know, you don't talk to people about cases that you might be judging. If you recall, that's the whole excuse that's given whenever we try to find out from one of these right-wing thug Republican Supreme Court nominees what their feelings are about a woman's right to go to the doctor when she needs to go to the doctor. Oh, I can't say anything about that. I might have to sit in judgment of it. Which is just stealth under the radar crap for not speaking the truth and saying, yeah, well, you know, I'm a 10th century man, and I believe that a woman and her innards are property. Well, sometimes I'm just amazed at how I get from point A to point B. Pardons, commutations. Listen, let's go straight to the phones. Our good friend Ben is joining us. Hey, Ben, welcome to the program.
Hey there. Agnes, get your finger away from the dump button, okay?
Okay.
And children, turn off the radio for a minute.
Leave the room, children.
That motherfucking goat-sucking piece of floating shit, George W. Bush.
Yes.
Oh, my God. There is no crime. These people could murder a Cub Scout, rape him, and leave him on the lawn of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and they wouldn't serve a day's jail time.
No, I mean Ben. It's only almost 5 years now that I've been saying that George Bush could be seen drowning kittens, and they'd swear it was a baptizing.
I am just, I think the time has come to break some windows. I really do. I really think the time has come for some civil bloody disobedience in the bloody streets. I am really pissed off.
I wonder how, Ben, I am too. And I know everybody listening to this program is incensed at this. And I don't think the words are adequate. You came close.
Well, it says there aren't any words.
But what?
There really aren't any words for this. I think the only words for this one should be crocheted on the edge of a shawl.
Yeah.
You catch my meaning.
Yes, I do. I do indeed. But what do you expect will be the measured civil response from the Democratic leadership in the Congress?
Hand-wringing and whinging.
Yeah.
That's all we're going to get is, oh, it's so awful what he just did.
Do you see how corrupt the Republicans are? This is the culture of corruptions. Golly, we can't wait until 2008 when we can throw the bastards out. He's got to leave anyway.
Help, I'm being oppressed. See the violence inherent in the system.
Bloody peasants.
This giveaway.
But again, Ben, he's got, Scooter's got the goods.
This was pure extortion. If he was going to go to jail, he was going to talk, period. There is absolutely nothing that would have kept Scooter from singing like a canary if he had to actually go to the big house.
Sure.
And this is pure extortion of the presidency of the United States. What has occurred is that the president has put himself in a situation because of his crimes and the cover-ups of his crimes that he has now got to give in to extortion from common criminals. And Scooter Libby is the commoner.
Ben, is it the crimes of the president or the crimes of the vice president?
They're indistinguishable because if the president delegated to the vice president the authority to commit those crimes, they were committed under his authorization.
Fair enough. Now,
whether or not the president actually delegated the authority or just abdicated it doesn't really matter legally.
Here's the question. Now, like I said, it says commute on the Fox website. You've probably already seen it by now.
Yeah.
We know that Fox is a gang of liars. Do you think it will be a commutation or will it be an outright pardon?
I think they're going to dance the dance on this one. They negotiated with Scooter Libby about the minimum they could do and keep him quiet. And the minimum they could do was probation. No more, no less. If they had had to go to a full pardon, they'd have gone to a full pardon. If they had to give him gold bullion and a villa in another country, they'd have done that too.
I don't know, but that's probably... What do you think that acreage in Uruguay is for?
Exactly.
I hate him, Ben. Jesus, I hate him. This is just...
I would just like to...
2 days before the 4th of July, Ben.
Yeah. I just hope wherever he is, there aren't a lot of illegal fireworks.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Well, thank you, my brother.
You take care.
Bye now.
Bye.
And Susan in Oregon. Hey, Susan.
What he said, just said.
Yeah.
In spades, in bright capital letters. I won't go... He has a better talent for it, I got to admit.
Ben does it very well.
Yes. Now.
It's like a haiku when Ben does it.
Uh-huh, yes. Okay, now, if you've listened to Mike, and I know you have,
mm-hmm.
Perhaps we should be discussing the boxes.
You know, box three?
Well, yeah.
I mean, doesn't it go soapbox? Ballot box.
It goes soap, ballot, jury, and ammo.
Ah, yeah. Box four.
Yeah. Well, we aren't quite at box four yet. However.
Box two. But see, I'm not... we are at a point, Susan, where... And I don't think what I say matters, okay? I don't sit around thinking that I'm, you know, I'm not shaping policy...
No.
I'm more than anything else. I'm channeling a lot of people's feelings. If my email is telling me correctly, they're going to get away with this. Okay, it's just please understand. This is the outrage of the moment. These sons of bitches are going to get away with this.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Just like Nixon temporarily got away with. Pardon. I mean, Ford temporarily got away with pardoning Nixon. But the Republican Party paid a terrible, terrible price for that. We make them pay again. Make them pay even worse. We killed the Republican Party for all time this time.
Yes.
Kill it dead.
And
make it so rank that nobody is willing to admit to being a Republican.
I'd like for that to happen. I believe this, it's the only hope that this nation has, Susan, is for the conservatives and the Republicans just to go and hide somewhere while we fix their mess. Unfortunately, every time we think that we've run them off, I mean, please, let's do a little, you know, Sherman set the Wayback Machine for Calvin Coolidge, okay? From the end of the Wilson administration to the end of the Hoover administration was something like a 12-year ride of unmitigated greed and avarice, okay? It culminated in the Great Depression.
Yep.
We got Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and with a few limited exceptions, it got pretty hard to find a Republican because they were responsible for the Great Depression.
Yep.
So you get FDR, and lots of FDR, 1945, he passes away, you get Harry Truman. Harry Truman is good until 1952. All right? Now, such being the case, Truman decides not to run, Ike steps in. Ike is a Republican. You get 8 years of Ike. And in those 8 years, the Republican Party rises from the ashes and reconstitutes itself. Then you get Kennedy, you get Johnson, and you get Nixon, who creates the Southern Strategy and capitalizes on race terror in the ignorant South.
Yeah.
And what I'm getting at is every time we think we've finally whipped them, we fail to run them to ground and stomp their guts out.
Yeah, that's what I mean. We're going to have to stomp them down, get a stake, and drive it through their hearts. And while we're at it, burn the body to make sure it's good and dead.
Yeah, and scatter the native soil so they can't put it in a casket somewhere.
Yeah, and then sow the ground with salt.
Yeah.
Because these people are just incredible. But that's the only, short of armed insurrection, and no, Agent Fred, I am not advocating armed insurrection. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt was no raving liberal. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, what he was a pragmatist.
Okay, we've got text out on this now, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen it. I've only seen the banner over at Fox.
I haven't.
This is what the Associated Press is reporting. President Bush commuted the sentence of former White House aide I. Lewis Scooter Libby on Monday, sparing him from a 2.5-year prison term that Bush said was excessive.
Oh, may he.
Bush's move came hours after a federal appeals panel ruled Libby could not delay his prison term in the CIA leak case. That meant Libby was likely to have to report to prison soon and put new pressure on the president, who had been sidestepping calls by Libby's allies to pardon the former yada, yada, yada. Now, okay, take a real deep breath, Susan, okay?
Yeah.
Quote, I respect the jury's verdict, but I have concluded that the prison sentence given to Mr. Libby is excessive. Therefore, I am commuting the portion of Mr. Libby's sentence that required him to spend 30 months in prison.
Okay, how much does a black kid from the ghetto get for being found with a rock of crack on him?
There is a young man in Georgia who is going to serve decades for a blow job.
Right.
Okay? That sentence is not excessive. It's not excessive if you're not white. It's not excessive if you're not a registered Republican. It is not excessive if you're not part of the power elite. It's not excessive if you're not a failed novelist who writes stories about 9-year-old girls being sodomized by bears in cages.
I gotta tell you, if there was any real justice on this planet, it would be George W. Bush in that cell being made the bride of some big black dude named Bubba.
Well, wait, you thought I'd gotten to the worst part. Another one of those deep breaths, Susan, okay? Bush left intact a $250,000 fine and 2 years probation for Libby, and Bush said his action, quote, still leaves in place a harsh punishment for Mr. Libby.
Oh, horse shit.
See, Agnes isn't even flinching at those now.
May you get exactly what you deserve, George. I suggest you take a look at history.
Okay, it's time for another one of those deep breaths, Susan.
The reputation he gained through his years of public service and professional work in the legal community is forever damaged. His wife and young children have also suffered immensely. He will remain on probation. The significant fines imposed by the judge will remain in effect. The consequences of his felony conviction on his former life as a lawyer, public servant, and private citizen will be long-lasting. They're not even going to disbar this son of a bitch. They are not going to disbar him. They won't do anything to him. Oh, he's going to stay on probation. Can't you see his probation officer? His probation officer makes about $50,000 a year, maybe.
Yeah, if he's lucky. And he has about 70 to 100 cases.
Yeah, and you see, Scooter will just go, okay, here's the deal, son. You're not going to give me any grief about my probation, and I'm going to do whatever the hell I want to, because, son, if you don't...
I'll call president.
I'll have you ruined. You'll disappear. You'll be lucky if you're living under a bridge drinking screw top wine, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When the people of this country, yeah, I have been harping on this. By the way, there is something people need to read on the website. It's an article. You can search for it. It's why Al Gore needs to be the next president. That's your homework, people. Read it.
I don't know. I'm. You know what? It's moments like this, Susan, that I'm pretty sure that I'm not as good at this job as I ought to be. Because I should have some sort of eloquent... the soaring oratory ready. I should be able to pull this out of my hat even when I find out 2 minutes before the show. And I know what a bunch of criminal thugs these sons of bitches are. I know, okay? I've known for a long time, but I'm thunderstruck.
Ben was perfectly eloquent. He just said it all right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to treasure that incredible... wonderful laying on of words, because that said it all, as much as it can be said. The only thing I can say is a message for dear George, you keep pushing it, you're going to end up like the Romanovs and like the Bourbons. Pay attention. History repeats itself. And no, that's not a threat. That is a promise.
Well, it's an observation of historically calculable fact.
Yes. The Romanovs didn't pay any attention to what happened to the Bourbons, so they suffered the same fate. Guys, pay attention. You will suffer the same fate if you push the people too hard. They will take only so much.
Well, I'd like for us to make, because... this stuff is so immediate that we're hard pressed to really give it everything it deserves. But you got to step back from it, and you got to make a couple of basic observations. Where is George Bush? Answer: not in Washington.
Oh, of course not. He's in Maine.
Yeah. So, this is the way these sleazy bastards operate. They have to slink out of town. They have to be in hiding. And they have to be somewhere that they can't see or hear the displeasure of the American people.
Exactly.
Now, I guarantee you, we don't have TVs in here. I can't monitor what's going on CNN or Fox or CBS or any of the other BS networks. But I'll tell you what's going to happen. George Bush, President Bush on Monday, commuted the sentence of Scooter Libby. He said he's a fine man, yada, 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 yada. And we're going to get this long litany of how poor, poor Scooter was going to have to go to prison if George didn't step in and do justice. The thing that's got me hopping mad out of this is this line this line out of, I respect the jury's verdict, but I have concluded that the prison sentence given to Mr. Libby is excessive. Who in the name of God is a pin-headed, jug-eared, pig-eyed little lout like George Bush to supplant his judgment?
Exactly.
For the judgment of the trial judge who heard all the facts, who applied the law,
and who probably didn't have to get through law school on a on his daddy's coattail.
No, no, no. Reggie Walton, he's a conservative. He's a right-wing Bush appointee.
But he actually studied law instead of drank his way through.
28 months. 28 months is too harsh a penalty for betraying the intelligence network of the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it used to be that treason was a hanging offense,
that's
and that wasn't deemed too harsh.
No.
Susan, I appreciate it.
Vincetti?
don't take me to Sacco and Vanzetti. Don't do that. Just don't do that.
And they were innocent.
Yeah, they were. It ain't like Scooter. Susan, dear, you take care and have a wonderful evening.
Yeah, I'm going to go throw stuff.
throw something for me, please.
Okay, I'll do that.
Bye now.
Bye now.
And David in Tennessee, haven't heard from you in a while, brother. How are you?
Well, Bob, I am...
Bourbon or gin?
I'm sorry?
Bourbon or gin?
Well, it's a warm, pleasant day here, so when I stopped by to buy my portion of my retirement plan, a lottery ticket, I picked up a Tecate 24-ounce can, because it was warm today. Now then, before I answer your question, am I surprised? I want your listeners to understand that because I made a bad social decision 5 years ago and had four drinks when I should have had two, I didn't measure up to the sobriety requirements in the state of Tennessee. No accident, no death, nothing but not being able to converse properly with an officer of the law. I spent two more days in jail for that than Scooter Libby will for this.
Jesus Christ.
So, no, I'm not particularly happy about this, but, Bob, I am absolutely in no way whatsoever surprised.
Nope.
Well, I take that back. My surprise is that it is not a full pardon. Even though it will act like a full pardon. A man of Libby's position, how tough is it going to be for him to wink, wink, nudge, nudge, raise $250,000?
I predict that the premier radio networks will have him on the air on a radio show in 6 months.
His book advance from Rupert Murdoch to do this for Harper Collins will have at least one more zero than $250,000 on it, so that takes care of that. Now then, probation. His probation will probably be he should read one article a day from the Washington Post. It will be the most meaningless probation in the history of the United States. And they did this so that little ferret wouldn't, under the penalty of spending 2.5 years in jail where he belongs, where the laws of the United States said he belongs, where he had been sentenced to be. They knew that if he went, if he really faced that, really, really faced that, he would do whatever he had to do to avoid it. Either that or, just as someone said, don't be near a fireworks display where large popping, cracking noises are because you might not live through the experience. And very honestly, I don't expect him to be alive very much longer. Now then, am I surprised? Not at all. But I want you to think about this for just a little bit. I have been listening to radio almost continuously, off and on, just as I do, and I know that you're a radio guy. There's this huge question out there. Why, for the first time since 1945, has the U.S. Supreme Court decided, with nothing other than news reports, decided to revisit detainees' rights in Guantanamo Bay? You're very aware of that, aren't you, Bob?
I kind of am, yeah.
Do you know why the Supreme Court is going to revisit and hear that case after saying they would not hear that case? Do you know what has occurred to me?
Probably the same thing that has occurred to me, but I'll let you have first crack at it.
The Supreme Court, headed by Fat Tony and Roberts and all the rest of them, want to knock down any possibility of that case harming George Bush before it can ever really, really matter. They're going to gut that case, throw it on the ground, and stomp it, just as they've done to the Constitution. They're concerned now that this may crop up other places. They're going to step in preemptively and make sure that that case has no more chance than a snowball in hell.
I agree. May I add some whipped cream to the sundae?
Stack it up there, brother.
We produce John's show and Joe's show, and I ran the Progressive today. And the Progressive is a commentary that comes from a gentleman by the name of Matt Rothschild, who is a very intelligent man, who is the editor of the Progressive magazine.
I live on a limited budget. Every dollar matters. I have one magazine subscription. It's lifetime to the Progressive.
Okay, then you get it.
You bet I get it.
Well, in his commentary today, he was addressing the issue of the revisiting of the Gitmo case. And as much as I like Matt Rothschild, and as much as I agree with him about 99% of the time, he said in his commentary today, David, that he hopes, and I think it's more a case of hope when you get right down to it.
Oh, yeah.
He hopes that they're revisiting the Gitmo cases because the court's liberals, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, John Paul Stevens, those guys, have convinced Anthony Kennedy to swing their way, and they're going to declare the Military Tribunals Act to be unconstitutional. I heard that. And, David, I said out loud, Agnes can verify, I heard that, and I said, Jesus, Matt, put down the pipe. Not why they're going to revisit it.
Nope. I am so disappointed in that. I think Mr. Rothschild has light, airy, lilac-scented hope in one hand, and he can fill the other much quickly with other processes.
Exactly. But I think that's where we are, David. We saw, and I put up an open letter to my senator at the blog at headonradionetwork.com, and it got published over at opednews.com as well. Just an open letter to my senator about the Seattle and Louisville school desegregation cases. And I also, suffice to say, out of what we saw from the Supreme Court this week, it became abundantly clear to me that the worm has turned. Okay, they know that they've got a five vote majority, and they've got the bit in their teeth, and they're going to run. When a court does something on its own hook, the legal term for it, David, is sua sponte, basically meaning in Latin, on its own initiative. And when a court does something sua sponte, that is rare, that is unusual, and it often winds up, if you look at the cases, it is something that higher courts frequently frown on. Because when the court acts on its own initiative, that means that it is doing something outside the boundaries of the advocacy of either party to the case. And
would
it is
that be considered, would that be considered prototypical activism?
It is judicial activism of the first blush.
On steroids with the Kessler's on the side, right?
Bingo. So when you see, and you see, when lower courts, like little state tribunals and federal district courts and so forth, when they run out there and act sua sponte, there's an appellate court above them that can go, daddy spank. But not this time. There is no one to rein in this activist Supreme Court. You know, you've got You've got the article in the New York Times today.
That's exactly where I was headed.
Talking
Scalia's riding the Spurs into Robert's side. Come on, Sonny. Before I fall over dead, I want to see more bodies.
Exactly. Exactly. And I mean, they've got the bit in their teeth.
Oh, no doubt about it.
And the foam is coming out their nostrils.
No doubt about it. But let's talk a little bit about mercy. Let's talk a little bit about mercy. Don't you think the whole tenor of W's little speech about too much punishment, wasn't that to just remind everybody he's a compassionate conservative and he just doesn't want to see Scooter suffer?
You introduced the phrase on this program some years ago, David.
Well, yeah.
This is wrestling. Okay?
I'm headed to a slightly different spot, and before we get
all right,
to wrestling,
go right ahead.
Bush wants to put out a statement, which incidentally was probably written 2 weeks ago. Does anybody in their right mind think that little weasel put this together in between fishing for bay stripers and having a beer with daddy today? Hell no. This has been on file for at least 2 weeks and groomed and picked and groomed and all the rest of it to show that he knew he respected the jury, but he wanted to show compassion. That little son of a bitch wouldn't let that woman live the rest of her life in prison. He wanted to see her tormented with a badly prescribed set of drugs that probably made her suffer the last 90 seconds she lived. And even the warden in the prison said she was an asset to the other inmates. So let's just put this compassion for Scooter in perspective, shall we?
I'm about 30 seconds away from just shutting the damn thing down and starting drinking tonight, David. It just keeps getting worse. I'm not being mean to you. I hope you understand.
No.
I got this stack of things I was going to talk about tonight. And I don't want to talk about any of them. I'm disgusted. I want to walk away. I want to kick things. I want to break things. I want to drive a car really fast and get it out of my system. I want to stand out in the woods and scream. Yeah, Carla Faye Tucker was the lady's name.
Thank you.
And in discussing her execution afterward, and this is not some wild-eyed liberal fantasy. These are reported facts. In discussing her execution afterward, George Bush mocked her.
Oh, please don't kill me. Please don't kill me. Please don't kill me. He said those words.
So rather than let her live out her life doing what she could to resurrect her physical being and protect her immortal soul, which I believe she believed she possessed, and let her be a helper, let her be something of a comfort to other prisoners. No, I need to show he, Bush, needed to show he was tough on crime, so he killed her and laughed at her. Oh, but Scooter can't be away for 2.5 years.
Scooter is male. Scooter is white. Scooter is rich. And Scooter knows stuff.
Scooter's in the club. He knows the handshake.
But we're gonna be at this all night long, I've got a feeling, David, because I've got an email here from our good friend Billy Shears. Susan McDougal spent years behind bars for nothing, and Scooter goes scot-free.
All I can hear in my head is, won't be fooled again, and in my day, when my values were really being formed, if America was the America that I came to love, not the raped perversion of America that George Bush and the neocons have created, there ought to be well-read, pissed-off people in streets right now. And it is so difficult to leave extraordinarily well-crafted profanity out of that statement.
Well, you know what? I, if you wanted to use it, I'd let you. I mean,
we're going to
have us some free speech tonight, David.
I'm thinking of Senator Leahy right now. I'm looking toward him and saying, I yield my good words to some of the other callers because I think I have made my point. I'm going to get off now and proceed on to other matters around the House and try not to break anything I care about because it does anger me. It does not surprise me.
Well, I'm somewhere between crying and screaming. I mean, this is really, really, this is, I mean, what analogy could you come up with, David? This is Grinchian, okay? I know that's a little bit comic, but this is something awful 2 days before Christmas. You know what I mean? Because, frankly, the 4th of July means more to me than Christmas does. Or Easter. Or Halloween, or any of the holidays that are primarily based on made up bullshit. Okay.
The two holidays that mean the most to me are the 4th of July because it gave us what matters to us, and to me, then it's Thanksgiving because more than any other holiday, through food, drink, and family, I can celebrate what it is that we have. The rest of them are mysticism. The rest of them are other things. But Lordy, this is so ugly, and it's just getting started.
Well, shall we name it while it's fresh, David? Shall it be the 4th of July massacre?
Massacre, rape, torture,
rape.
Something.
Yeah, rape. Thank you. The 4th of July rape.
The Statue of Liberty is bent over, and she's taking it up the butt.
Yep. I was actually thinking of the aluminum Art Deco statue in the Department of Justice that Ashcroft put the curtain on. They threw the curtain over her head, threw her down, and broom-handled her.
It's genuinely disgusting, and if this doesn't really activate us, all of us, from the middle toward our side, Jesus and his brother Harry, I can't imagine anything would get us started.
Well, I start...
It's as nasty as anything you can imagine, and it points toward worse.
Wow.
What was that?
I don't know. Did you throw the phone?
No, I didn't do anything. I'm at a loss.
Well, Agent Fred's pissed.
Agent Fred... Ah, Fred, take a hike. Go suck an onion. Anyway, I'm going to let somebody else vent. You know, I've soaked up way too much of your internet pipe.
No worries. You know, we started this phone call, David, and I said gin or bourbon. What I was referring to is, you know, what is it you just want to take big, you know, just drink it till the, you know, till you're so damn drunk you're just holding up, looking up the neck of the bottle, looking at it, and ain't no drops coming out.
Well, yeah, and slug one down that takes your breath away and you can't think of what it is. You can't really recall for a few seconds what it was you turned the bottle up because of. It's going to take several of those to get through this one.
Whole bunch.
This ain't pretty. This is ugly, and it's, dear listeners, dear friends, it's only the beginning. Martial law, I don't think, is too far behind.
It may be here. This may be it. All of this, see, I know you want to get off and I should let you go, but the fact of the matter is there's too much of this stuff working together. God almighty, David. I was sitting there Friday. I didn't talk about it on the show because, you know, a bomb plot was foiled in London. They found another one, and there was propane and gasoline and a Mercedes. And then Saturday, it's the Glasgow airport thing, and I'm going, why? What is this about? What are they leading up to? What is this for? What is this for? This shit never happens without a reason. Welcome to Monday.
Yeah, it's not as simple as there are some followers of Muhammad that are quite angry about Salman Rushdie. It's not that simple.
No. This wasn't that. This was that. If that makes any sense. All right, David.
Hey, the timing's been there. Every single time. Every single time. There's always one of these. It is boom, boom, action, reaction. There we have it. All right, Bob, thanks for the chance to vent and get started on an evening of recreational recovery.
Indeed. Thank you.
Later. Bye, David.
I'm sorry. I'll stop using the brown words. I apologize, Agnes.
But is, oh, you rubes, you suckers, us dummies. We thought, oh my God. I heard John Fox this morning saying, you know, what's this about? What are they hiding? What are they up to?
Well, folks, just in case you were wondering, was this Gordon Brown? Did Gordon Brown have a hand in this? Did he put the little jeweled poodle collar on for George? I'm guessing he didn't. Because this stuff doesn't just happen. This stuff has to be worked up. This is George working with Tony before Tony bugged out. Oh, and I got other stuff too. There's a U.S. military officer found dead, I think, on Cyprus, who disappeared on his way home from work this past Thursday. Oh, there's all kinds of stuff. And, you know, even if they don't manipulate this stuff, please understand, even if they don't manipulate it, these shameless punks, these bloody-fisted thugs, don't hesitate in the least to use things to their end. That's part and parcel of why I don't jump out on the 9/11 so-called truth bandwagon. It didn't need to be dummied up by George Bush. All it needed was a little negligence and a lot of political cynicism. You see it coming, you don't act on it. George Bush's poll numbers were somewhere around 39% on September the 10th, 2001. By the morning of September 12th, they were 93%. 93% for just sitting there reading My Pet Goat. All you have to do is sit still and let it happen. And I feel like such a rube, such a chump. I never saw it coming. But there it was, the fireball at Glasgow International. And reports of United States not planning on elevating the terror level. And there was another little story there hiding that said, oh, by the way, the U.S. had known about this for 2 weeks. And there it is. Scooter. Commuted, pardoned, come on. Let's talk to Cassie, calling from Texas. Hey, Cassie.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
I'm good, but I'm really mad.
You should be, dear. You should be.
Because I see things, like, with my own life and stuff. Okay, my mom sold drugs and used drugs, and she wasn't supposed to, and she wasn't supposed to sell them in a house where I was living when I was 11 years old. But she is in prison in Texas for 9 years for that. And she can't be my guardian, even if she gets out before I turn 18. So she has 9 years of prison for selling drugs to a cop. So she didn't ruin anybody's intelligence, and she didn't ruin the search for weapons of mass destruction, and she didn't end Valerie Plame's career, and she didn't destroy a whole front company that who knows how many CIA people were working for overseas, the Brewster Jennings thing. And she didn't lie to the FBI, and she didn't obstruct justice, and she didn't lie to grand jury. She didn't do any of that. And she has 9 years because she sold some drugs to a cop. And Scooter Libby, George Bush thinks that because that's his friend, that Scooter Libby needs to not serve any jail time at all. And that's not America.
No, it's not. I'll be honest, Cassie, it makes me wonder if America is dead.
I just read something like 2 minutes ago that said that in 2 days we get to celebrate the country that we used to have. That's what the 4th of July is going to be this year, is going to be like a memorial, like a celebrate what we used to be and not celebrate what we are now.
I'm down with that. You know, I'm not the Jimmy Swaggart type, Cassie. I'm not going to sit here. I'm not prone to open displays of frequent weeping. But frankly, I can feel it when my tear ducts are welling up, and it usually happens more out of anger than out of sadness. This is a combination of those two things.
I'm angry and I'm sad and I'm more angry. If you want to be merciful to everybody and you want to have everybody be able to have things pardoned and have less sentences and not have millions and millions of people in jail, then that's fine. But just do it for your friends and not do it for other people. That's the king stuff. That's not us.
No, it's not. And
I'm sorry, I'm not making any sense.
No, you're making tons of sense, dear. You are making tons of sense. I'm reminded of a line, and I don't remember if it's from the Bible or a play or a poem, but the line is as follows. The quality of mercy is not strained. It falleth as the gentle rain from heaven upon the just and the unjust. Well, do you get what that means?
It means that mercy
is not something that is doled out whether you're rich enough or handsome enough or have a good enough house or you're high enough in the government. Mercy is something that falls on everyone
no matter who.
Right. Well, we've seen that gentle phrase taken out and peed all over today, Cassie. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be overly graphic, but that's what's happened today.
If they want to have mercy, we did a thing with the courts recently to try and get my mom transferred to a place that has psychiatric treatments and that has psychiatric treatments and drug treatments instead of the prison, because where she's at, all that stuff is just done by volunteers and not like a real program.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to be merciful, they need to have more of that and more of things that will actually help people and help all the prisoners.
Yeah.
And they need to say yes to things like that and not say yes to this is crazy. This is just... It's not crazy, Cassie.
Dear, I'm not disagreing with you. It's evil and it's mean. And you're young, and I'm not trying to sound like the old guy lecturing. I really am not. But please, as you come into your adulthood, recognize evil where evil resides. This is evil. This is wrong. This is manifest injustice.
Not fair.
It is, but see, the hardcores will look at you if you complain that it's not fair, and they'll say, "Well, life's not fair." You know, I hate that. I hated it when it was said to me when I was your age, because I had some idealism about me, as you do about you.
Some things are supposed to be fair, and our justice system is supposed to be fair. If there's a rule, if there's a law, then it's the same for everybody. Or if you're going to be merciful about it, you be merciful to everybody.
Exactly.
I think it's terrible. It's like when I was in elementary school, there was this kid who used to get in trouble, and because his mom was on the PTA and his mom was friends with the principal, like nothing bad ever happened to him, even though he got in trouble. And this is like that, but 10,000 times worse.
It is. And George Bush is that kid whose mom was on the PTA, okay? That's his life.
Uh-huh.
Please understand, from growing up in Midland, Texas, where he would literally put M-80s up the back passages of frogs and throw them in the air to watch them explode.
Okay? Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought you knew that. to the kids that he wouldn't let leave the baseball diamond until he had finally won. To the grades that had to be dummied up to get him into as a legacy at Andover, to getting him in as a legacy at Yale, to getting him into Harvard, to get him out of having to serve his country in the National Guard, to the companies, the initial front money for the company was put up by the Bin Laden family for Arbusto Energy. It was bought out by another company called Harkin Energy, and that was bought out by Spectrum 7, or vice versa. All along the way, George Bush, every time he has gotten himself in a fix, there's been a fixer there to get him out of it, okay? And that's the way he thinks the world works. The idea that this is a nation of laws and not of men is both alien and disgusting to a member of the Bush family.
Well, they're disgusting to me. To me, they're disgusting. And my, you know, my brother's in the National Guard, and he does important work.
Yes.
And he was involved with all of the rescues in the flooded areas up by Oklahoma this week. He just got back. And I don't know. And I don't think George Bush did stuff like that when he was in the Guard.
No, when George Bush was in the Guard, he was in the Texas Air National Guard, and A, he didn't show up. Then he applied, and this is just timeline stuff. Then he applied for a transfer to the Alabama Air National Guard so that he could work on the Senate campaign of a weirdo Republican named Winton Blunt, who had been Postmaster General of the United States. That request was denied. He left anyway. You tell me what would happen to your brother if he was called to duty and he didn't show.
First they would call the house, and then they would call his cell phone, and then they would arrest him 2 days later.
Yeah, and then they would call the MPs.
Yeah.
See, the MPs never get called on a Bush. And, you know, I'm hammering on George Bush here, but it's Neil, too. Okay, Neil Bush, who just went and robbed Silverado Savings and Loan blind in Colorado. And, of course, Daddy steps in, and he's the fixer, and Neil gets a nonny-nonny, don't do that anymore, Neil. And Neil goes away with a wad of cash in his pocket.
Mm.
Time and time and time again, Jebby Bush down in Florida is up to his neck in dirty, filthy, rotten, organized crime influenced shady real estate dealings. But he's a Bush, so he gets away with it. Now, honey, I'm not yelling at you. I hope you understand.
I know. I'm as mad as I am. You're madder, probably.
No. You've got a much better and much more real right to be angry about this, because you're on the receiving end of justice and all the mercies running downhill at the Friends of George Bush.
I think that my mom needs more mercy than Scooter Libby needs.
Of course she does. Your mother is not a criminal. Your mother has a problem, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We could spend every show for a month on the war on drugs and not be done with it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Your mother is a... Please, bear with me. Your mother is a criminal because of acts deemed by the state of Texas to be criminal.
Right.
Okay, if I go out and I whomp somebody in the back of the head with a ball bat and take their wallet, that is a criminal act because it is an act of fundamental wrong.
Mm-hmm.
If, on the other hand, I've got a chemical in my pocket that the state has deemed to be wrong, do you see the distinction?
Yes, but it's because the...
Your mother is a manufactured,
and not because it actually hurt a real person.
Your mother is a manufactured criminal. Mm-hmm. The guy with the ball bat, the mugger, is a real criminal. Okay? Scooter Libby is a real criminal.
Right.
Because he
real
did
people whose lives got hurt.
He did real intentional harm to other people.
So he could protect Dick Cheney.
Right.
Now Bush is saying, oh, it's okay.
You know, so I can't tell you a blessed thing, Cassie, that will make it better. And I can't tell you that it's going to get better.
And my heart is sitting here aching because I consider you a personal friend, and I know how old you are, and you're young.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the crap that we're passing off to you, because there aren't enough people with enough courage and enough guts and enough starch who are 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years older than you to put a couple of million people in the streets of D.C. and end this for the sake of you and the people your age and younger. There aren't enough people that have that kind of courage, who have that kind of guts, who, you know, tomorrow evening we'll be reading the Declaration of Independence on the air, and it'll say something about we pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor.
Well, I would march to the Capitol in Austin. If somebody will make a march to the Capitol in Austin to protest it, that I would do, but I can't go to Washington.
No, you can't. It's not your job, dear. That's what I'm trying to tell you. This is not your fight. This is my fight, my generation's fight, and my generation won't get off its lazy butt and fight it. And for that, I apologize, dear. I apologize.
What about the Democrats in Congress? Are they going to fight this? Or are they on vacation already?
One, they're on vacation already. Okay, see, this is how the Bushes operate. He's not in Washington. Everybody's gone. And so it happens in the metaphorical dark and still of the night. This is a mugging, okay? Now, let me explain to you how the Democrats in Congress are going to see this. They see this as an opportunity. They don't see this as an affront to the constitutional dignity of the republic. They see this as an opportunity to make political hay, because it is a political system. And they think that this is just going to make it all sunshine and roses all the way to November 2008. This just, they think, put paid to the idea of any Republican being elected president in 2008. This, they think, will give them their veto-proof majority in 2008.
But that's not enough.
No, it's not, dear. It's not.
That's not enough, and 2008's too far. We need something now.
Yes, we do. Impeach, indict, imprison.
Yes. Yes. Now, if they impeach Bush, can he pardon himself?
That's an open constitutional question.
Because I know that with
they can't,
people
they can't,
went to the office and said and told him at the White House that he should resign, and he did. But I think that if 400 people plus his wife and his dog all told Bush to resign, he still wouldn't.
Well, there is an old story, Cassie, and I can't remember the exact context. But it was about the church disapproving of some political act. And the king responded, "And how many divisions does the Pope control?" Okay? That applies here, too. There is a real, honest-to-God, constitutional crisis looming in this country. Because it is conceivable that George Bush and Dick Cheney could be impeached, and that they could then refuse to leave office and dare someone to remove them. Because you see, the Congress doesn't control any armies.
We would need help. We would need another country to help us to do that.
See, this is all predicated on reasonable, rational men of decency and women of decency and honor, Cassie.
These are not honorable people.
They are not. They
there
are not.
There is no honor here.
That's why about every 5 to 6 days I get another email from somebody saying, "I do not believe in January 2009 that Bush and Cheney will leave office voluntarily." That's why they say that.
There's no integrity and there's no honor anywhere around these people.
No. You see, if you impeach Bush and Cheney, Cassie, you could call the FBI to go get George Bush, but you see, George Bush and Dick Cheney control the FBI.
And it's all their friends that are in charge of everything.
They
won't fire their friends anyway.
You could send the Army or the Marine Corps to go and get George and Dick, but they control the Army and the Marine Corps. You could send the U.S. Marshals, but they're controlled by Chief Justice John Roberts, who yells "How high" every time George says "Froggy."
Well, and now the National Guard if let's say the governor someplace, not Texas, but the governor of someplace else wanted to send the National Guard to do something, Bush can overrule him. That they passed a law last year about that.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
The governor of
I mean, you see the problem, don't you?
Where are we all going to live when this happens? Are we going to stay? Are we going to, what are we going to do?
I don't know. I won't lie to you, so I'm not going to sit here and just make something up. This ain't no Republican show, Cassie. I don't know. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But hang on to your anger. Hang on to your frustration. Delve deep into it and understand that you're not wrong, okay? You are in the right on this one. And don't let anybody tell you otherwise. This single act, once and for all, as if we thought before it might not have been done, but this single act, once and for all, shows the world the lawlessness of George W. Bush and Dick Cheney. They are
and
not.
How come Americans don't hear what the rest of the world hears?
Okay, I could
get. Because of our press, right?
Well, sure. And because 32 million people tuned in to see Larry King interview Paris Hilton.
Ugh.
Or whatever. Okay? We're not interested. That's what I'm telling you. My generation is failing you. Because we'd rather watch TV than participate in our own freedom. This is how fascism happens, Cassie. Because fascism is very easy to live under. Stay out of the way, keep your head down, watch your television, go to your sporting events, watch whatever don't say anything about the government, don't participate, don't be heard publicly criticizing anything, or you'll get a visit in the still of the night. That's how fascism happens.
I'm scared about that.
Yeah. Understand that the root word of the word fascism goes back to ancient Rome. In ancient Rome, in the days of the Republic, there was no army inside what was called the pomerium of Rome. There were no cops. There was nothing. So when the consuls and the praetors and so forth went about, depending on how high in the office you were, you had a group of people called lictors, L-I-C-T-O-R-S, lictors, who walked surrounding you to protect you from the rabble. Now, they carried ceremonial things on their shoulders called the fasces, F-A-S-C-E-S. And the fasces were a bundle of rods and axes that they could use to beat back the crowds. The word fascist comes from the fasces, those rods and axes. In other words, fascism is rule by rods and axes.
That's horrible. That's not what we're supposed to do.
Fascism is ruled by force. Fascism is ruled by intimidation. Fascism is ruled by fear.
Do you know what I just saw on the internet while I'm talking to you?
What's that?
That the White House just turned off the phone line. They're not taking calls anymore.
Oh, I'm not surprised. Why should they? Typical, you know, I mean, when your cable goes out, the cable company does the same thing. They don't want to hear from you. They know there's a problem. They don't care. Is there a better symbol for what all of this means than what you... The switchboard's been turned off. Cassie, dear, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob.
I'll talk to you soon.
I'll talk to you about something better next week, okay?
Okay, we'll have a giggle then.
Okay, bye.
I love her. Agnes says I need to take a break. I'll do that, then we'll come back and do phone calls. 304-658-5912. I don't know where else you can vent. Stand outside and holler if you want to. But if you want to get it said and you want to have a conversation about what this all means, by all means, pick up the phone. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This bloody road remains a mystery. Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
I'm getting so sick of hearing people try to minimalize what's going on. And China's up to it now, too. This idea that, you know, we're going to try and make moves, but not at the detriment to our economy. Hello! How many times do I have to say this? No planet, no economy. No planet, no business. No planet, no commerce. Drives me absolutely insane. And like I said last week, we have George W. Bush pressuring the G8 to soften their language while at the same time making public statements to tell the G8 to get with the program. Excuse me? What bloody planet are you on?
Join me for Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. Moving to 10 a.m. weekdays, Monday, June 18th, here on the Head On Radio Network.
Most people I know.
Hi, kids. You know, there have been a few questions about who is this guy starting a gay conversation radio show on the Head On Radio Network? And what color is the sky in his world? Not to worry, I totally get it.
Phones in a minute. I want to share something with you. I don't know. Maybe some people turn to the Bible. I turn to things that have moved me in my life. Thomas Jefferson once said that all men are created equal, a phrase that the Yankees and the distaff side of the executive branch in Washington are fond of hurling at us. There is a tendency in this year of grace 1935 for certain people to use this phrase out of context to satisfy all conditions. The most ridiculous example I can think of is that the people who run public education promote the stupid and the idle along with the industrious, because all men are created equal, educators will gravely tell you, the children left behind to suffer terrible feelings of inferiority. We know all men are not created equal in the sense some people would have us believe. Some people are smarter than others. Some people have more opportunity because they're born with it. Some men make more money than others. Some ladies make better cakes than others. Some people are born gifted beyond the normal scope of most men. But there is one way in this country in which all men are created equal. There is one human institution that makes a pauper the equal of a Rockefeller, the stupid man the equal of an Einstein, and the ignorant man the equal of any college president. That institution is a court. It could be the Supreme Court of the United States, or the humblest J.P. court in the land, or this honorable court which you serve. Our courts have their faults, as does any human institution, but in this country, our courts are the great levelers, and in our courts, all men are created equal. I'm no idealist to believe firmly in the integrity of our courts and in the jury system. That is no ideal to me. It is a living, working reality. Gentlemen, a court is no better than each man of you sitting before me on this jury. A court is only as sound as its jury, and a jury is only as sound as the men who make it up. I am confident that you gentlemen will review without passion the evidence you have heard, come to a decision, and restore this defendant to his family. In the name of God, do your duty. Beautiful words from a fictitious character named Atticus Finch, in a fictitious work called To Kill a Mockingbird. And you see, the court system in this case, this Scooter Libby case, worked. It worked. There was a prosecutor who gathered evidence. There was a grand jury who heard evidence and voted on it and handed down an indictment. The prosecutor then presented the indictment to the court. The court hailed the defendant in. The evidence was marshaled and presented to a jury of 12 people, tried and true, sworn to do their duty without passion and without favoritism. And having done their duty, they delivered their verdict to Judge Reggie B. Walton, who read the verdict and having had guilt ascertained, imposed sentence. And having imposed sentence, stepped back. Because the court system, as it was set up by the framers of our Constitution, had worked. And one nasty little man, one vile bag of flesh and bones, vitiated it all over a 28-month sentence. 28 months. Not 28 years. Not 10 years, not 5. A 28-month sentence that would have seen Scooter Libby on the streets in half of that. But one day of prison is too much for our betters. For you see, what we're being informed here, my friends, is that those are our betters. Is there one of you who, convicted of a crime, would dare hope for the intercession of a president on your behalf? For so much as stream littering? No, by God, there is not. What did... God, he ran for president as Eugene V. Debs. What did Eugene V. Debs say? So long as one man is in prison, I am not free.
I don't think I ever fully understood that before this time. I don't think that really made sense to me before now. I'll tell you something. And you heard me talk a lot about him when he was alive, and some after he was gone. This is one of those moments where when I talk to my daddy. Because I know that if what got him hadn't gotten him, today would have killed him. And I'm going to say something, and Agnes is going to get mad at me. I predict it. When they buried my father, they sent an honor guard from the United States Navy, done up in the uniforms of World War II with the putties and everything. And they had a casket, they had a flag on my father's casket. And they folded it neatly into that beautiful triangle. And Lord, I wept. And when the seaman presented me with that flag, he said, "On behalf of the President of the United States of America, I present you this flag with the thanks of a grateful nation." Those are the exact words he said. "On behalf of the President of the United States of America, I present you this flag on behalf of a grateful nation." Today, now, that flag is trash to me. Today, now, that flag is trash to my father. Today, now, that flag is trash to all of us. Because today, now, the man who presented it to me has urinated and defecated all over it. And if I was a bit bolder man, I would take that flag down to the Veterans Memorial where my father's name is listed, and I would burn it. And they would kill me for it. That is, this is not hyperbole. I don't have time for hyperbole. I don't have time to get on the get behind this microphone every night and be somebody that I'm not. I don't have time to play games and be a character for you. All in the world I have is 3 hours a night of brazen honesty and candor. And I tell you now, I will not go burn that flag because I would be gunned down in the middle of US 60. And I'll be damned if I will die for a shitheel like George Bush. But I am aching from my toenails to the last hair on my head. I'm sick. And I don't know how much of the world that I observe is theater. The one thing I'll tell you is when you tune this program in, you will not get theater. This is not play. This is real. this evening, a couple of minutes before we went on the air, it was announced that the executive branch of this country had gone to war with the Constitution of the United States of America. And the thousands, the few thousands that are listening to this program are the only ones who know it.
Oh, he commuted scooter. Well, isn't that terrible? Hey, it'll be great for us when we go to the polls in 2000. Boy, we'll really whip ass on the Republicans. Oh, golly, isn't this wonderful? No, this sucks.
This makes my guts turn to water. Never mind burning a flag. Burn a constitution instead. Dumbass right-wing thugs wouldn't even have common sense enough to realize what it was you were burning, and it wouldn't matter much to them anyway. Because conservatives are all about symbols and outward appearances and not substance. I'm still not sure I'm going to make it all the way to 9 o'clock. There's a part of me that just wants to sit down and weep. Instead, we'll go to the phones. David's calling from Maine. Hey, David.
Good evening, Bob.
What's up?
Well, I understand your frustration on all of this, but the way I look at it is this. Everything, since I was a kid, it was all hallucinatory dream. Nobody ever did anything by action, or most of the country didn't. It was all by words. And after a while, that catches up with you. Caught up with the Democrats, caught up with the Republicans, caught up with everyone.
It's cold comfort, my friend.
What is that?
I said it's cold comfort.
I know, and here's something that should make people wonder. The writer of It's Your Thing and This Old Heart of Mine, he's serving 3 years, people. 3 years in jail for accidental tax evasion.
Accidental tax evasion? There's such a crime?
Well, that's the way he looks at it, because his accountant and they weren't looking after it and something like that. And I tend to believe someone like Ron Isley.
Yeah.
At least I would like to, because he has character or whatever.
Well, he's an artist. They're not generally. You don't generally find a lot of songwriting geniuses among the accountancy crowd.
And even if he, you know, what puzzles me is the fact that Ron Isley's in jail, but Willie Nelson never went to jail. So you figure that one out, people.
There's that too.
So
not that I want Willie Nelson in jail. God no.
Willie Nelson's agency. We don't want you in jail. Believe me. We want the redheaded stranger out there kicking ass, as usual.
Yeah, and I want Ron Isley out on the streets, too.
Oh, yeah, most definitely, you know? And,
I mean, could George not have at least put a little bit of a patina of decency on this? And, oh, I don't know, how about freeing Leonard Peltier while you're cutting a break to Scooter Libby?
Well, there is no decency. I mean, you want to talk about real problems? You know the guy who wrote out the revolution will not be televised, Gil Scott Heron?
Yeah.
Well, people, I got bad news for you too. He's currently in jail, and he has the AIDS virus on a drug charge. What kind of retards do we have in this world who puts a person like that in jail who's sick and has the HIV virus and is dying day after day in the jail cell? But here's something else to think about, Bob. If you look through his whole catalog of all that stuff, all the stuff that he said,
yeah,
he said about child abuse, alcoholism. He showed the honesty of himself. He said, "Look, I don't have the answers. I am not an idol or a deity. I have these problems. I suffer from depression. I am on the verge of madness." And he put it out there in front.
And people came out for him, and he rallied for the causes, and he came out time after time. But where are the progressives for Gil Scott-Heron? Are they writing to him? Nope. Are they trying to get him out of prison? Nope. So there you go right there. Everything is about getting the check and checking your ass. And that's it.
Well, in large part, you're probably right, David. I'd like to think that's not how I live my life, or most of the people who listen to this program live that, theirs.
Well,
but there is a substantial out of sight, out of mind factor at work. And you know what? I'm very wrought right now, and I'm very hurt, and I'm very angry, and I'm very a lot of things. You know what? Sun's going to rise tomorrow and the day after that. And the sun is not going to rise on 10 million people surrounding the White House in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
It is not going to happen. And it's not going to happen because people have mortgages and car payments and they got to buy chlorine for the pool. And, you know, if they fall behind, well, you know, they'll lose that 52-inch projection LCD nightmare TV they've got. And they won't be able to sit in front of it and be hypnotized hour after hour as their sorry lives slide away into oblivion.
I hear you. I have the perfect visual for our country so people can put it in perspective. There's a scene in Gremlins where they go to the pool. And they go in the pool and they see hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cocoons of gremlins. They're no longer mogwais. They're no longer the soft furry things. They're all gremlins. And they're right near the water so they can multiply. That's, people, what our whole system of government has become. We let them in, and now guess what? We have to take care of the gremlins. How do you do that? That's a question I just can't answer.
Indict, impeach, indict, imprison. Impeach, indict, imprison.
And with that, I'm going to let someone else get on the phone because I know it's not toll free.
Yeah, thanks, David.
All right, later.
Bye. Now, it's not toll free, but it's free speech. It's 304-658-5912. 304-658-5912. There may not be another time when you're using your voice means more than what it does now. Have you never called this program? Pick the damn phone up. Let your voice be heard. We haven't lost a caller yet. We don't have people stroking out and dying on the lines. Why are you silent? This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I paid a price, and I'll keep paying.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Better yet, do you feel it? That's what Night Sounds is all about, and I can't wait. I'm so ready. He's going to change the way we hear music.
Minutes before the hour. We're a little more than halfway done with the program tonight. I'm not. Look, I can sit here and I can talk for an hour and a half. I'd rather hear you because this is about you, okay? It's not about me. I'm really not the llama. It's about you. And let's go to the phones and talk to Linda. Hey, Linda, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
Okay. I've just called in to basically say hi to all the people in the chat room and you, because my computer was on the fritz last week, so I was on a dial-up modem without a and I couldn't get into the chat room, and my kitty cat died last Friday, and
oh, I'm so sorry.
It's just like, you know, trouble on top of trouble on top of trouble.
I certainly know the feeling.
Yeah.
So,
and, you know, I heard, you know, since I was able to sort of listen to you guys today and, looked at the EU a little bit, and George Bush had screwed the pooch.
Or the Constitution.
Yeah. Or both.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, I'm reading now where, Fred Thompson has come out and said, well, it was the right thing to do. And I can't, and I can't, there are people somewhere in this country, Linda, who think that that making life a little easier for Scooter was somehow decent and just.
Well, I mean, those 20% people can vote for Fred or Rudy or whoever, and the other 80% of us will vote for someone else.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm not into this as a political lever or as some way of creating political gotcha. This is just what happened with Scooter Libby is just plain dirty.
And it's wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember this. You know, in a way, it wouldn't be so bad if I hadn't put up with 8 years and more of right wing radio asking, with regard to Bill Clinton and a consensual sex act. Well, what do we tell the children? What do we tell the children? Oh my God, how do we explain oral sex to the children? How do you explain defecating on the Constitution to the children?
And how do you explain lying to the grand jury and outing a CIA agent and having her whole network screwed?
Yeah. Yeah, how do I look at my children and say, you know, you need to be honest and upright and decent in this life? Well, I'll tell you how I explain it to them, Linda. I tell them, you are not like them. They are better than you. They are royalty. You are a peon.
No.
Don't step out of line or they will bust your ass back to the Stone Age. That's about how. That's the explanation, isn't it?
Yep. Oh, jeez. But there's a bunch of threads at Fire Dog Lake today about what's going on. So if people want to check those out.
Okay. I like Fire Dog Lake a lot.
Yeah.
And in fact, one of the... I think it's Christy at Fire Dog Lake. She's a West Virginian like me.
Yeah. So. And I think, let's see, Jane Hampshire is going, or she's going to be on the Rachel Maddow show tonight, or she already was. I'm not sure which.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about what's going on. And my kitty cat, Crook, says hi.
Oh, I hear him. He's chirping.
He's got a loud voice.
And, of course, tomorrow evening, I imagine the speakers will catch fire when Mark Levine gets on the air.
Yeah.
This ought to be an amazing hour tomorrow at 5. Linda, so good, very good to hear from you. Since people are calling on their own nickel, I'm gonna run along and not burn up too many of theirs.
Okay.
You take care.
Yep.
Bye now.
Bye.
And Kevin calling from D.C. Hey, Kevin, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
Not worth a damn.
Yeah, between seeing the Michael Moore movie mm-hmm. and this today, I thank God the first thing I did this morning was go to Jamaican Embassy here in D.C. and reapply for my citizenship so I can have dual citizenship.
Get the heck out, huh?
Well, you know, I have options.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still kind of hopeful, but my hope is thinning very, very much so.
I think my hope got taken out behind the building and whacked in the back of the head about an hour and a half ago.
Yeah, this 4th of July, I am not celebrating. I'm not going to be with family, none of that nonsense with barbecues and fireworks. I'm going to lock myself up in this apartment, have a bottle of cognac and a couple of cigars, and watch Rick Burns' History of New York, the PBS.
Hey,
New York is the only place I want to have anything to do with. As you may or may not know, that's where I'm originally from, and to me that is the last bastion of true democracy and the will of the people of this country.
I got to get up there sometime.
And I think even more so it's getting better. Even Bloomberg had to turn to the left.
They
talk about how elite, you know, the people on the two coasts are. Well, you know what? If that's part of being part of the Northeastern elite, then I'm gladly part of it. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm no longer an American. You know, I'm a Jamaican. I'm a New Yorker of Jamaican descent.
I can understand that completely. I can. I don't have anywhere to turn to. I'm here.
Well, you know, there's always options. Hell, you know, you see all these CEOs dropping their citizenship to duck taxes, you know. It's like, and part of the reason why I'm doing this, because the Michael Moore movie, you know what? The main reason is out of survival, too, because, God forbid, if I come down with terminal sickness and if my health insurance doesn't cover me, I'm going to, you know, fly down to Jamaica and then take another 45-minute trip to Cuba so I can get free health care. And they'll give it to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'll give it to me.
Kevin, I don't know what to say except that if you decide to go, I'm glad you've got that option. And you know, sure. The world has given up on the United States of America. And what happened this evening proves that
the people who supposedly are our representatives governing in our name have just thumbed their nose at us.
Yeah.
I mean, this just feels like something that's it's like being around a putrescent corpse.
Yeah. It's like, you know, like the friend said, you know, they're not afraid. The government is afraid of them. You know, the government is afraid of the people. That's why French people, you know, but, you know, it's one thing that the Romans fed, you know, keep the people fed and entertained, and you'd be surprised at what they can get away with.
Bread and circuses, my friend, bread and circuses.
Yeah, that's all I have to say, man, but, you know, I'm truly disgusted, and, you know, if I don't speak to you, try and do something positive on the 4th. I know what I'm doing is not the most positive thing. But
I'm going to do what I think I'll do what I always do. I'll stand on the porch and read the Declaration of Independence as loudly as I can with the kids standing around, and then I'll set fire to it.
Yeah, are you sure that's, you know, because like I said, you know, I'm going to lock myself in and watch the Rick Burns New York on PBS because that's the only part of this country I want to have anything to do with now.
Can't blame you. Can't blame you, Kevin. You have a good evening, all right?
Okay, you too.
Bye now. Well, okay, she's back. Agnes had left the command post for a moment. Agnes, let's go to Bob. Hey, Bob.
Hello, my friend.
How are you?
Well, if you don't mind me coining a phrase.
Coin away.
I'm pissed off. I'm thoroughly pissed off, Bob. I'm sick to death of listening to all this. Geez, old Scooter Boy got off. Hell, we knew he was going to get off. We always knew he was going to get off. We felt it in our gut, right down in the middle of our being. We knew he was going to get off. We just didn't know how they were going to pull it off, right?
That's kind of where I am. I didn't. This is one. I mean, yeah, I knew. And
yeah, you knew they were going to get him off one way or the other. Well,
but I didn't know. I didn't know that they would use a firebomb in an airport in Glasgow as cover.
Of course, Bob. They'll use a burn down that.
Yeah, this is. Yeah, I know. Yeah, this is a crowd that would hold a baby in front of them as a shield.
Of course they would, just like in that, what the heck was that show? Oh, I loved that one. What was it, that guy that he could read minds and stuff? You know, and the guy that wanted to blow up the world, he was the politician. What the heck was that show, Lost Minutes or Dark Zone or Blank Head or something like that? It was Dick Cheney in charge, I think. Dick Cheney's in charge. And you people are all being conned and donned and dumbed down. It is sad that, hey, Bob, you know what I did today?
What'd you do?
I went out and I just sighted in a few rifles, just a few. And then I had to pop up a few nines at a target and blow something away. Just go destroy something. Just shoot holes in a target, right?
Yeah.
But then I figured, hey, I'll get it out there a few more yards. You know, I'll put it out there past the 50 mark. I'll put it out there at 75. Now go for 100 and see if I can put one through the eyeball of an eagle flying at 9,000 feet. I don't know, but I know this, people. Get sharp, get armed, and I will go with my good and decent, good and decent liberal friend out there, Mike Malloy, and say it's getting damn close to the ammo box time, and I will stand beside my sister. My sister Susan, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
That said, damn, it's getting close to ammo box time. These people do not understand anything other than force. They use it against us. Try to keep us down and afraid, and be afraid, Bob. Be very, very... No, I'm not afraid. I'm pissed off. I'm really pissed.
Yeah.
Like my dear friend down there in Florida, Peter Godblood.
Godbold, yeah.
Godbold, yeah. Oh, God's blood runs through his veins, if I do not understand him incorrectly. Godbold, yes, he's bold, and I love the man. He's not, I've never met him, but I love him for his courage, his strength, and for his tenacity and for what he said this evening. Thank you, Peter. Thank you very much. I appreciate you. And to my friends in the other chat rooms on other networks, I am that Gunny Bob you were asking about. I'm him.
Yep.
Because there were some questions. Are you that guy? And I says, yeah, gosh, well, okay, I'm him. And it was in Mike Malloy's chat room on Novam, and that other one with my other good and decent liberal friend Tom Hartman in that chat room. I had a couple questions. Am I he? Am I that guy? And then I told Agnes, I says, Agnes, they're asking about me. And she says, well, you've got a following. Why do they follow me? Follow themselves. Follow their heart. Follow your mind. Follow what you believe to be true. And stand, people, please. Just stand up and be counted. Count for your grandchildren. Count for your children. Count for yourself. Just don't let them knock you down, and don't let them make you afraid. Just because they let this little filthy little squirrely little log, this slithering little snake, this Studer Libby go, what the hell do you people expect them to do? They're going to let their little slithering little brethren, these little worms, they crawl in, they crawl out. They're in your stomach, they're out your mouth. They're in your head. You got to listen to Rush Limbaugh. You got to listen to these filthy, lying sons of bitches, Bob.
Yep.
That are on the mainstream media. These little, what's that thing that they call him? That little wannabe Jesus, baby Jesus?
Oh, Hannity.
Yeah, Hannity, baby Jesus. Yeah, he knows everything too. Why do they have to be so correct? Because, Bob, I don't know if I'm correct. I just know that I'm pissed off tonight. I'm pissed off that they allow this nation, this beautiful nation, that just this weekend, this...
You know, you just made something click in my brain. And, Bob, I know this is going to seem crazy.
Okay.
It's just an analogy, because okay. I'm thinking of the almost unlimited power of a federal district court judge.
Okay.
You remember when the sheriff let Paris out of jail the first time?
Mm-hmm.
And the judge, who had already relinquished his jurisdiction and everything, hailed her back in and sent her back to jail?
Mm-hmm.
I'm up for a constitutional confrontation. The Honorable Reggie B. Walton, trial judge of Studer Libby, can't be happy about this.
I hope not. I hope
what if he hailed? What if he hailed Studer Libby back in?
That would be good. It would be good.
Now wait. Work with me here.
Okay.
What if he hailed Studer Libby back in and said, "All right, your prison sentence has been commuted. I just revoked your 2 years probation, and I'm sending you to prison on that."
Okay.
Now make George Bush commute that too.
Well, remember back in the day of the Dick? Not the Dick Cheney.
No, the Nixon.
The Dick Nixon. Remember that fuddle-headed board? And I will call him I served under Dick Nixon. I served in his Marine Corps. I served under Lyndon Baines Johnson in his Marine Corps. I served under these Republicans before. And they sent us into hell before. Now they're sending my young Marines into hell for what? For what? For the American people? The American what, sheeple? The American dumbfuddled? The Americans that do not have a pair of shoes, let alone a pair of balls? They don't stand for nothing. All they do is sit on their little tushes and hope that somebody else is going to pull them out of the soup? Well, people, let me tell you the truth. Nobody's going to pull you out of the slop except yourself. And you got to do it by looking them right in the face and just die if you have to, but fight. Because if you do not fight, you will be dragged into their slop, into the filth of the Republican Party, and there's not a Republican that is not a Republican. They're licking George Bush's asshole. And that's the truth. That's all they can do, Bob. And I'm tired. I am sick to death, and I will not stop fighting until they take every bit of breath from me, and they gotta do it with a gun, because I ain't running, boy. I'm here, and I'm ready to fight, and it's time that we fight for what is correct, and what is correct is the decency of every human being. The poor are our brethren. The poor are what this Jesus Christ put us on earth to look after one another. Love thee one another as I have loved you. Well, I am not a Christian, Bob. I'm a United States Marine. That's all I have ever been. I cannot claim that I'm a decent man. All I am is a killer, and I'm sick to death of these sons of bitches. And I'll go to my maker and tell him I fought them, I stood against them, I hate them with every bit of my being. And I'll tell you something about a United States Marine general that sat up there and sucked off at George Bush's butt. That Peter Pace is no chesty puller. He is nowhere near.
He ain't no Smedley Butler.
He don't even come up to Smedley Butler's ankle level.
Hey, hang on, Agnes. Bob, hang on a second. Agnes has something for you here. Hold on.
Okay.
Before Bob goes to break, I just wanted to let Glenda know that we love her.
I know that.
And that she will be in our thoughts, because you know how I am about all that.
I know that. And darling, I'm pissed.
I know you are.
And it's time for you guys to go to break. I know that.
But
you have
every right to be pissed off. There's no doubt about it. And yes, I said that word.
Huh?
Anybody who isn't pissed off right now isn't much of an American.
I am a. The 4th of July is coming up, Bob. The 4th of July. The 4th of July.
I know.
And that means something to me. The United States Marine Corps was born at Kuhn's Tavern, okay, on the 11th of November, 1775.
Yep.
Okay? Kuhn's Tavern on November the 11th. Yeah?
Yeah.
And the United States of America did not come into being until July the 4th, 1776. That is, we were born before the United States of America, and we fought for it in bloody campaign after bloody campaign, Bob. And I have lost my brothers. I watched my sons die for this nation, and I will not let this nation die or lay down its courage because of a little pig faced wog named George W. the Coward Bush that farts in my White House, that squats like a chimpanzee into my house of my family, my Marines, my nation's house, the house of the people of the United States, and he allows this. Okay, Bob, you got to go to break. I know that.
I do.
Forgive me for my anger, but I have a rage.
Look, don't you dare apologize for it. Again, anybody who isn't as angry as you right now, not much of an American.
Okay.
Got to roll, Bob.
Love to you, love to Agnes, love to the United States. That which I have fought for, and you must and they must, everyone that hears my voice, fight. Do not be afraid, my friends. The only thing they can do is take your life. They can't kill your dreams. They can't kill your hopes. They cannot kill that word that you will spread among those that will survive us and that will look to us and say, you are those patriots that we, you are beloved patriots. That's what we will become, Bob. They will look back on us and say, these ones fought for us. Those cowards, those Republicans tried to destroy us, but these healthy Americans with a healthy American spirit fought for us, and they will love us, and maybe, hey, I might. might even be on one of their posters. Who the hell knows? But anyway, good love to you, good night to you, and good luck to us all.
Thanks, Bob. Take care.
Best of luck. Bye-bye, my friend.
Bye now. We'll be back after a short break. This is the Head On Radio Network.
Every word, memorize every line. I spit it once, review, re-energize and rewind. I give sight to the blind, mind sight through the mind. I exercise my right to express when I feel it's time. This is all in your mind, what you interpret it as. I say the fight, you take it as I'ma whip someone's ass. If you don't understand, don't even bother to ask. A father who has grown up with a fatherless past, who has grown up now. Rap phenomenon that has, or at least shows, no difficulty multitasking and juggling both. Perhaps mastered his craft slash entrepreneur who has helped launch a few more rap acts, who's had a few obstacles thrown his way through the last half of his career. Typical manure moving past that. Mr. Kiss's ass crack, he's a class act. Rubber band man, yeah, he just snaps back. Come along, follow me as I lead through the darkness. I provide just enough spark that we need to proceed. Carry on, give me hope, give me strength. Come with me and I won't steer you wrong. Put your faith and your trust as I guide us through the fog.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. The Family and Medical Leave Act is working as intended, is important for working families, and it needs to be paid leave. Those are among the findings drawn from 15,000 public comments on the act gathered by the U.S. Department of Labor. The Department of Labor's Victoria Lipnick says there is broad consensus that family and medical leave is good for workers and their families, is in the public interest, and is good workplace policy. The AFL-CIO says the law does need to be improved, making the leave paid leave. Some employers have complained about having to accommodate workers to grant that leave, but the Labor Department has no plans to ask for changes in the law. It's hard to say the last time there was a labor anthem in the top 100, but if Steve Doobie and his band have their way, it will be on July 4th. Jesse Russell reports.
Troubled by the rising tide of offshoring around the country, musician and CSEA Local 2001 member Steve Doobie put pen to paper and wrote an anthem called Mad in America for his band ETX.
The song was written as a protest, basically, just because of all the production and engineering jobs and IT jobs going away.
Doobie is now trying to bring that protest via song to music lovers everywhere by landing on iTunes Top 100 on July 4th. How? Doobie is calling on everyone to log into their iTunes player on the Independence Day holiday and download the song. If enough people do it, Mad in America should hypothetically find a place among the Avril Lavigne's and Fall Out Boys of the world.
We'd like, you know, to get a grassroots effort going where the song could become like an anthem for American workers, just to show Washington in an election year that we don't want the middle class to go away and we want jobs in the United States.
You can find the song by searching for Mad in America or ETX in iTunes.
Fast-track trade authority has expired, and the Democrat-controlled Congress isn't interested in extending it. Fast-track is used by the president to negotiate trade deals that are then not amendable by Congress. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is opposing South Korean and Colombian free trade deals and any renewal of fast-track authority until trade policies are changed to protect the interests of working people. If you see a guy in a dress walking through the airport during your next trip, it could be a protesting air traffic controller, upset with a new Federal Aviation Administration dress code that bars jogging outfits, jeans, shorts, and halter tops. Workers are allowed to wear dress slacks, casual shirts with collars and sweaters. Some male workers have taken to occasionally wearing the dresses or kilts to protest the code, which they have deemed silly.
Workers Independent News puts workers and their unions on the national radio news airwaves every day. To help keep labor's voice on the air, go to laborradio.org.
Doug Cunningham, Workers Independent News.
By the time you were born, there were four other...
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Kind of like an ache, headache forms back behind your eyeballs, isn't it? That's what this is. And, I need to give this anyway, because it's, look, the phone number is going to be this way for at least a week or so until we get the unit back. We're on a loaner, and we can't, 304-658-5912, 304-658-5912. Learn it, know it, use it. Email to bob@headonradio.com. You can do smoke signals or semaphore if you want, but we're not necessarily going to get that. 304-658-5912. Just write it down for the time being. The toll-free thing and the other number, it'll all be back soon. Now, where to go? Are you over your angry? I'm not over my angry. Not by a long shot. I'm so disgusted I could spit at... I could put a horseshoe in my mouth and spit out rivets. But you know what? We've been angry. We've been angry since this little punk-ass bastard stole the White House in the first place. And some, most of us, a lot of us, were angry in 2004 when he stole it again. And he did steal it again. Please understand. So, what? I don't know. I had this funny little story I was going to open the show with about how these right-wing goobers who hollered, "We got to build a fence between here and Mexico. We need a fence. Dang, if we don't build a fence, they'll get all our toilet swabbing jobs." You know, the jobs that immigrants have always done in this country until they get a generation or two under their belt and, like, Tom Tancredo can stand up and scream about immigrants. Bastard. No, but you do know that, right? The part of the fence that we built with, like, umpty bajillion taxpayer dollars? A 1.5-mile barrier along the U.S.-Mexico border. Oh, it's just too funny. It would be funny if we weren't in the middle of what we're in the middle of. It turns out these right-wing thugs who, A, spent your money to build a damn useless fence. Go ask the first emperor of China about how effective his Great Wall was at keeping out the unwanteds. Because, you see, what you do is, so you've built this awesome wall. Well, if you can't get through it or around it, you just bribe the gatekeepers! These dumbasses got this fence built. And we built it on Mexican soil. Really? Those dumbass Republicans who insisted on building this fence and were in such a dead-run hurry to build it, put it on Mexico's side of the border. It's their fence now! Hey, is it keeping them out or is it keeping you in? You tell me. And it's going to cost $3 million to tear it down and build it back. Because, see, Mexico's a sovereign nation that doesn't appreciate having its borders violated. This isn't Israel and the Palestinians where you can just steal their land and put up a fence. No, Mexico's a real, live, honest-to-God country. And we're going to have to tear it down and spend $3 million putting it back up. Oy, stupidity. Maybe, I'll tell you what, I bet you Tom Tancredo, Tancredo, that's an old Native American word. That name's not Italian. His people didn't come over on a boat. He's not an immigrant. No. Tom Tancredo's probably raised $3 million in his presidential bid, don't you think? Let's have Tom Tancredo pay to have the fence moved. It's one of his pet projects, isn't it? Sure it is. Let Tom write the check, because as a taxpayer, I don't feel like paying for it. How about you? Oh, if only I was a web designer, I could put up all these fun little websites every time one hit. PayForTheFenceTom.com. TancredosFence.com. MoveTheFenceTancredo.com. Oh, it would be a blast. Okay, that was the cute little story I was going to open with before everything went to crap. Now, the story that's not so cute that somehow works in, for me, it works into all of this, is the single most downloaded story on the Washington Post today. And Dr. Bill O'Brien mentioned it in his program. I always love it on the days that I get to produce Dr. Bill, because I used to love going to school, and it's like going to school when you listen to Dr. Bill. It's just a joy. It's an exercise in dialogue and discussion and learning. Now, the name of the article, you may have read it by now. It's one of those long Washington Post articles. Courageous and brave souls that the Washington Post are. Now they're ready, you know. Now, with just a few, you know, less than 2 years left in the Bush administration, now they're going to become tough journalists. And they're going to tell us about it. The headline, they're the title, if you will: A President Besieged and Isolated, Yet at Ease. Subheading: Bush, grasping for answers and fixated on Iraq, remains resolute. No, oh, what a joy. Okay, let's see if I can make some horse sense out of this. Here we go. This is the opening paragraph. At the nadir of his presidency, George W. Bush is looking for answers, one at a time or in small groups. He summons leading authors, historians, philosophers, and theologians to the White House to join him in the search. Kind of reminds me of the closing lines to the Pink Floyd's The Wall. What is it? All alone or in twos, the ones who really love you gather around outside the wall. I cannot believe this got published on this day. The day of the raping of independence. The rape of justice. Remember it, children. Kids. July the 2nd, 2007. The day that justice got raped. On that day, the Washington Post published, "Over sodas and sparkling water, he asks his question, what is the nature of good and evil in the post-September 11th world? What lessons does history have for a president facing the turmoil I'm facing? How will history judge what we've done? Why does the rest of the world seem to hate America? Or is it just me they hate?" Do you believe that? I don't believe that 10 cents worth. Especially the part about him summoning authors, historians, philosophers, and theologians to the White House to join him in the search. No. No. I call BS on that one. No, sir. The sessions, usually held in the Oval Office or the elegant living areas of the Executive Mansion, are never listed on the President's public schedule and remain largely unknown even to many on his staff. To some of those invited to talk, Bush seems alone, isolated by events beyond his control, with trusted advisors taking their leave and erstwhile friends turning on him. Spare me. You know, come on, this is the Washington Post. The Washington leaks like a sieve. They knew this was coming down. And this is what got put on the front page of the paper today. To soften the blow. Poor George. He had to pardon Scooter. He's all scared and alone, like a rabbit in the weeds. And the lawnmower bearing down upon it. Poor George. And yet Bush does not come across like a man lamenting his plight. In public and in private, according to intimates, he exhibits an inexorable upbeat energy that defies the political storms. Even when he convenes philosophical discussions with scholars, he avoids second-guessing his actions. He still acts as if he were master of the universe, even if the rest of Washington no longer sees him that way.
The horse pucky!
George Bush has never spent 10 seconds of his miserable existence in contemplation of anything other than what will get him out of the next daggum bind. To the extent that an unexamined life is not worth living, George's is unexamined. Let's go talk to Michelle. Michelle, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
I'm okay. I guess if I have to accept that I live in a country that seems to not know that it's going in the shitter, and it's going towards the black
hole. Yeah, we're beginning to spin now.
Yeah. But, you know, it's like praying to the porcelain god and denying it. You know, I mean, when you're talking, I had no idea that I hadn't read that yet, that they had built the fence, what fence they built, on the wrong side of the line. I mean, and then, you know what, when you talk about Scooter, I mean, I hate to say this, and you know, some people in the chat room, people aren't going to do anything.
No. I mean, no, they're not. Nobody's going to march on Washington. This was done, Michelle, because the president's out of Washington, the entire Congress is out of Washington. Nobody, and so if 10 million people did show up, so what? They can't stay there until these dilettantes come back to work.
Well, don't you think, though, that many of the people that would march, and even many of the people that would protest, even when they come back, that they are so inundated by just surviving the gas prices, their second mortgages, because they, you know, either they've had to improve their air conditioning because their they didn't have air conditioning before and it's getting hotter, or they had to get a new water pump, or, you know, all these things because they're not getting paid reasonably, so they can't upkeep their home, so they...
No, they're still... Right. Michelle, they're so mired in debt that they don't dare go protest.
So how can they even march forward when they're so sunk into this depression that can only be muted by going to McDonald's and having a Sunday dip or whatever, or watching, you know, some show on TV just to numb their minds so they don't have to face the reality of if they looked at it, they'd see how bad it truly was. I mean, I love my mother, but my mother she's a pack rat and she's in denial. And I'll never forget, I remember she would go to the post office. She had a box, a post office box. And she'd get her mail, and my stepfather, who, sad to say, we lost to cancer about 10 years ago, but he was getting chemo and didn't have insurance. He was retired, and the company, you know, sold the coverage, you know, after retirement kind of thing. It was there, but it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so ended up they were left alone to use their savings. And it got to the point my mother would put her mail in these grocery bags, and you'd see her set it behind her car seat, you know. And then it would get into her trunk. My mother never opened her bills because she couldn't pay them. People aren't opening their minds and learning these things because they can't do anything else but survive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad. But what really needs to happen, as someone else and I have stated, is that these people in Orange County, you know, the Orange Curtain, these people in the coastline where I live in California that don't feel it, that have gotten the tax deductions that they so need, they need to feel it. And I want them to feel it. We don't hurt. My family doesn't hurt. But, you know, if we did, believe it or not, it sounds sadistic, self-destroying. But I believe we need to feel it. If you remember back in the early 80s when the farmers were feeling it.
Yeah.
And the families.
And they threw a concert.
Yeah.
They didn't march on Washington. They threw a concert.
Well.
No, I'm sorry. I'm in a very dark place right now, Michelle. And
I understand.
Now, see. Bear in mind, Wednesday's the 4th, and there will be probably a million people on the mall in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Watching fireworks and listening to some symphony orchestra, or maybe the Beach Boys. I don't know.
And eating hot dogs and apple pie.
Now, what would be fun is if there was enough people to turn them and say, "Come on, y'all. Let's go party in front of the White House. Let's go party all around the White House, and let's don't leave.
And let's move the porta-potties over there." Yeah, yeah.
But guess what, Michelle? It ain't going to happen.
No.
I've got a list of things that should happen that aren't gonna. And I don't advocate violent overthrow. I don't advocate bullets or bloodshed or bombs. I don't believe in that stuff. It was wrong to do to Iraq, and it would be wrong to do to ourselves.
Right.
But I do believe in nonviolent resistance.
Right.
I believe in getting about 10 million people and sitting them down all around the White House and saying, "Look, you know, we're just not going to leave until he does. Him or us, okay?"
Yeah, well, what about all these people that could boycott?
But it ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
And there aren't going to be any boycotts, and there aren't going to be any refuseniks, and there's not going to be any flus, and nobody's going to take a day off from work. It ain't going to happen.
And meanwhile, we've got our young, like our youth, like Cassie. We've got our youth, and that I don't know. Maybe I was hearing wrong, but I could hear the sorrow in your voice and listening to her, and you know what she has to struggle with. You know, with her mother. I mean, what is that doing our society any good by doing that with her mother? You know, how is that going to help Kathy along? And so I don't march, I don't protest, I don't stand and hold a sign for me. I hold it for these kids, my stepson, my stepdaughter, my daughter, the kids I know at the coffee shop, the kids I see at the schools when I help and volunteer there. God, please, somebody wake up and see that just because your kid's in private school doesn't mean that they're not going to be affected by this.
We have not begun to contemplate the hell that we have, the hell of a future that we have created, Michelle.
Well, thanks for letting me say what I needed.
You're more than welcome to. Anytime, anytime.
I love you guys.
Thanks.
I really do. I don't get to hear you as much, but damn it, I love you guys, and I love everyone in the room. So, you
Thank
take care.
You. We will.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. And on to someone who I have a feeling is probably a little, maybe even more bent about this than I am. Joe Vecchio, are you there?
I am here, but you know something? I'm not mad. Because this is not a surprise to me. I mean, this is like getting angry that, I don't know, that a hurricane blows a house over. You know, it's a force of nature. It's natural. That's the way these people are. You and I, Bob, we're not human. You know? And I was remembering, you remember a while ago we discussed something, and in fact I was surprised that you knew about it because, quite frankly, it's not a well-known piece of history, but we discussed the Melian Dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember the key phrase from that is...
Great nations do what they will, small nations do what they must.
That's right. And, you know, rights only come into play between equals in power. We are not their equals. You know, they are above the law, they are beyond the law, they do whatever they want.
Okay, well, let's check out what some equals have to say, Joe. I've got a statement here from Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid.
These are not equals, Bob. I'm sorry. These are not equals in Bush's mind and in Cheney's mind. These are not equals. There are only a very, very small group of people, and they're all interconnected with business and politics, and it's Bush and it's Cheney and it's Rumsfeld and it's the people at Halliburton and it's the people at Bechtel, and it's all these people who run these companies. There are maybe 2,000 people in this country who are human as far as they're concerned, and maybe not even that many. So Harry Reid, what he says doesn't friggin' matter. What did you just say? What's going to happen? What is Harry Reid going to do? What is Nancy Pelosi going to do?
Well, Harry Reid might come out and say something almost slightly warmer than timid, and then a bunch of right-wing talkers like Limbaugh and Hannity and O'Reilly and the Savage Wiener and so forth will call him a liberal, and then he will defecate on himself, Harry Reid will, and he will soil his sacred Mormon underwear and apologize for ever saying a discouraging word.
Exactly. That's exactly what's going to happen, if he bothers to say anything at all. Well, you know, he said something, he made it sound forceful. Nancy Pelosi said something that sounded even more forceful. And I wonder now, Ms. Pelosi, is impeachment still off the table? And is it ever going to happen? No.
Well, I'm looking at her statement, and there's nothing about impeachment in there.
See? So, you know, and where's the Washington Press Corps with it? Well, he commuted his sentence.
And I've got all these statements to see. I've got Barack Obama, Charles Schumer, Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, John Edwards, Bill Richardson. Nothing in here from our good friend Dennis Kucinich. They didn't bother to ask him. He's the only one that's got a bill of impeachment pending on the House floor.
Mm-hmm. And you know, if Cynthia McKinney was still around, she'd be up there with that too.
Yeah, she'd have signed it. There's 10 people that have signed it. Keith Ellison has signed it. The new Minnesota congressman.
You know what, Bob? You know, and as much as I like Dennis Kucinich, and I'm not saying this to be mean to him, he doesn't matter. You know,
Harry Reid doesn't matter. Nancy Pelosi doesn't matter.
None of them matter.
God Almighty does not matter.
And the only people who can make it matter is all of us together. If not through actual elections, just physically removing them from office and starting over again, because this is absolutely outrageous. But you know something? What happened in 2000 was absolutely outrageous. What happened in 2003 with the Iraq War was absolutely outrageous. What happened in 2004? With Ohio was absolutely outrageous. And you know what? Just kind of like, yeah, well, whatever.
Yeah, we're all outraged out. We're all outraged out, Joe.
You know. And I did a thing some time ago where I printed a phony New York Times headline. It was something like 2032 I placed it, although it could be earlier. And the headline of the title, the headline said, Humble U.S. Awaits World's Verdict. And my premise was in the future that the rest of the world basically ganged up on the United States and said, we're not going to take this crap anymore. You're going down. And I had a big old speech from the then president about how we screwed up.
President Jeb Bush?
Well, no. It wasn't anything like that. It was just some made-up fictional guy. But it was an actual real president as opposed to you know, the fictional character that we have now.
Yeah.
And Mr. Bush is a fictional character. You know, he's your typical, you know, and then they're going to try to slug this Fred Thompson on us or Jeb Bush. You know, like you said, they may split out this election and go and put, try to put Jeb Bush in there.
I've tried to explain that to people, Joe. The Republicans do not want to win in 2008.
Right.
This is all wrestling. There will be a Democratic president in 2008 because the very name of Bush is poison right now, and they need 4 years to get that name, to get George Bush out of people's mouths, because they fully intend to complete the dynasty. They will run Jebby in 2012, and they will do everything in their power to steal it for him, too.
Sure, and the only people who can stop it is us. And you know what? We don't give a damn. I'm not talking about guys like you and me, because we give a damn. And that's why we're so angry and frustrated, because we give a damn, and there seems to be nothing we can do about it. And all the people in the chat room, and they're all angry, and they're all, you know, they're all going on benders. And you know what? And I love them all to death, but you know what? They don't matter. And their anger and their righteous anger doesn't really mean enough. You know, and even if you had 10 million people crowded on Washington, will it still change? No. The newspapers will say that a couple of hundred people showed up. The riot squads will come in and start tear gassing people. You won't see it on the news. You know, I honestly believe it's just going to take an outside force. So, and I don't know what else to do except try to deal with my own situation. You know what my own situation is, Bob? I'm late on the rent again. That's my own situation. And I'm one of millions of other people who are out there dealing with the same paycheck-to-paycheck issues that, like you just talked about with Michelle. How can they get involved? How can they do things? And that's just what these people want. That's just what these people want, because they use economic power as leverage.
Right. They're not wage slaves anymore. We're lower than that now, Joe. We're debt slaves.
Sure, exactly. Exactly. And we get called, you know, we get pulled in by what's on the TV. And look, there's that Paris Hilton again. Boy, she's going to jail. She's going big time. She's going down.
Oh, my God. I just realized Paris Hilton has done more jail time than Scooter Libby will do.
Isn't that remarkable?
I keep saying, I don't know if I'm going to make it to the end of the program before the liquor bottle comes out. I know you're not a drinking man, but I tell you what, this has got to be as good. Well, thank God almighty. You know, Joe, Lord.
It might be a time to start.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like that great line from W.C. Fields. That woman drove me to drink, a fact for which I am eternally grateful.
Well, you know, it's really, considering that even without drinking, I'm in debt, it's a good thing that I don't drink, because I can't imagine how much money.
Well, you know, there's something here that it occurred to me during the course of the program, Joe. And, you know, I wish, and I say this to you because you have commented on a number of occasions about the cliquishness of the left blogosphere. I wish that we were in tight with the left blogosphere, because I'd like to start a movement. Because this is not BS. This isn't just some made-up crap. I had the idea while I was talking with Gunny Bob in North Dakota, and I mentioned a little earlier. I want to reiterate on this, see what you think. Because it comes out of the Paris Hilton story. Again, the judge who sentenced Paris Hilton, when he found out that she had been prematurely released, hauled her back into court and sent her back to jail, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was extrajudicial. It was, frankly, most likely illegal. However, Judge Reggie B. Walton, who consulted the law and imposed... Remember, these sentences are imposed based on what are called federal sentencing guidelines, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they're rigid. They take all the discretion away from a federal judge. He can depart upward, or he can depart downward, but somebody's got to go to jail. That's the way the law's written. This was Congress, in essence, what I'm getting at, Congress from 20 years ago sentenced Scooter Libby. The judge didn't. Okay, a federal judge's power to look at somebody and say, go and sin no more, is largely gone. Okay, that's how it is that an 18-year-old African American kid with 3 grams of rock in his pocket can go to prison for 20 years, versus a white kid of the same age with 3 grams of powder cocaine can go for a year,
mm-hmm.
because the sentencing guidelines say so. They control the federal prosecutor, and they control the federal bench. So Judge Reggie B. Walton was only doing what Congress told him via the sentencing guidelines that he had to do. Okay, so It's not just Reggie Walton that George Bush overrode with this statement that the penalty was excessive. You know, I can't believe that little pissant said that, but he did. I respect the jury's verdict, but I have concluded that the prison sentence given to Mr. Libby is excessive. Okay, well, Judge Reggie B. Walton had no choice in that, and I know I'm rambling, and I don't mean to, Joe. But what I'm getting at here, if we had better ties to the clique that is the blogosphere, we could get a lot of people writing Judge Reggie B. Walton. And we could encourage him, because, see, there's still a 2-year probation term left on Scooter's conviction. We could get Judge Reggie B. Walton to hail him back into court and say, I have reconsidered my sentence in light of the commutation of yours. I am rescinding probation and imposing a 2-year term of prison on you.
That would be fun.
And make George Bush commute that one, too.
Force his hand. Well, you know, I've been wanting to really force these guys' hands. I want to see how you know, I want to see how fascist they really are.
You think we could get some momentum behind something like that, Joe?
We wouldn't get the left block. You know, Daily Coast wouldn't talk to me. You know, Atrios wouldn't talk to me. The only one who might conceivably do it is Avedon Carroll of the Sideshow. She might mention it to the bigger players, but she's a B-level. As good as she is, she's B-level. You know.
Well, I'll write this up this evening. Maybe I'll get Agnes to produce Peter Godbold, and I'll write this up and submit it to Op-Ed News. It won't go anywhere either.
Yeah, well, you can put it on Democratic Underground, or you can put it on Daily Coast. But I'll bet you if you put it on Daily Coast, there'll be people screaming at you that you misspelled the third word in the fifth paragraph, and that's therefore unacceptable. And or you used a particular phrase that angered somebody else. You can't use that phrase because that phrase was angering the ancient Croatians in the 5th century A.D. And therefore, you know, you're just as bad as the Republicans. You know?
Concern trolls.
And Bart Kopp will probably make a mention of it. But, Bart probably is drinking very heavily thinking about all of this, although he's probably drinking some very good stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. This is a drunk that you really want to use the rot gut on.
Hey, what was that time in MASH when there was an episode where Colonel Potter went to find out that he was getting bad reports from inside his own unit, and he's like, yeah, this is great whiskey. You got any rot gut? That's the kind of stuff we need. You got any rot gut?
Yeah. Bray, are you a Stooges fan, Joe?
Not really, but
any time there's a bottle of liquor that comes out on the Stooges, it's always got a label on it that says Old Panther.
Old Panther.
And it's just, you know, harsh, terrible, whatever. And my father once explained to me that was a running one-liner gag back in the 30s and 40s. It's the all you see is Old Panther, but the real name is Old Panther Piss. And that was sort of a mnemonic, and everybody else, you know, it was an inside joke, and everybody who saw it, all the adults went, oh yeah, Old Panther. Yeah, we need about a case of Old Panther for this.
And even I don't drink, and I've been considering it, you know, for crying out loud. But again, it's not a surprise because
you're right. And to feign surprise, it was only surprising because of when it happened. I mean, this is so sleazy and oh God, I was almost going to say insensitive, for which I should be taken out and whipped. But it's so sleazy, it's so heavy-handed, it's so ham-fisted, Joe. Jesus Christ, it's 2 days before the 4th.
Till Friday. He could have done it on Friday, you know, the Friday after the 4th of July. That would have been perfect. Slow news day, you know.
See, everybody's gone now.
Oh, okay.
Friday wouldn't have worked because people traditionally come back to work after the 4th. But with the 4th falling on a Wednesday, a lot of people take long weekends.
Mm.
So they're not at work Monday, they're not at work Tuesday, and they're off on the 4th. This will be gone, done. It will be over with. Nobody will be thinking about it. Paris Hilton will probably be, or Lindsay Lohan will be caught, I don't know, snorting horse dung or something, and that'll be the big story come Thursday.
Yeah. Why don't we'll get Chris Matthews to have Ann Coulter on for 3 hours, and she can talk about it.
Well, and bear in mind, Joe, you know, we're talking about it. We've got a bad habit on this network, and it's a bad habit that we share with the folks who share their time with us. We tend to think that because we're paying attention, America is too.
Right.
They're not. We are.
I was talking, there was a friend in another chat room, a non-political chat room, and I was talking about, we were actually talking about this other person. And the two of us who were talking were talking politics. And the first person mentioned about the second person, so that person didn't even know that we were still in Iraq. Okay? And there are, I bet you there are at least 100 million people in this country who are not aware that we're fighting in Iraq right now. And that's how tuned out a lot of people are.
Well, I intend to sit down long about midnight. And I'm going to watch, because that, you know, midnight is when the Eastern time zone stuff starts repeating for the left coast.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to watch me a news broadcast, and I'm going to see how much the Scooter Libby commutation gets before we start talking about Lindsay Lohan snorting horse poo.
What?
Really. Because I guarantee you, it should be, you know, it should be a 30-minute segment. It'll be 5 minutes tops.
It's that much. And you know the thing about it, I was talking about this on my show this morning. It really, this is a sigh of relief for the Washington Press Corps, because they know they're in the fire, too, at this point. And they know that, you know, if Scooter Libby had gone to jail, if real justice had been served, then there was a possibility that some of them might be going to jail, too. And quite frankly, I think, what was the name of that German newspaper, Der Sturm?
Yeah.
And the name of the producer, the guy who produced that paper, Joseph something, he was on trial at Nuremberg, and he was executed just like the political leaders, okay? And if we ever get to that point, and I frankly doubt it, I don't see it, I hope it happens, but I just don't see it, you know, the executives at CNN, at MSNBC, certainly at Fox, you know, they ought to be in the docket, too. Because they're all part and parcel with this. As far as I'm concerned, they're collaborating. They're openly collaborating with this administration, with the Republican leadership, and their financial backers. Those are the three main groups of people that we got to deal with. You know, and just you know, and frankly, I think we need a whitewash of the entire political system. Vote everybody out, Democratic and Republican. Get them all out of there, because they're all a bunch of worthless schmucks.
Well, I've got another person who agrees with you. This just rolled in on the email. Jim writes and says, are you really surprised? We both knew that Libby would never see jail. They would rather have him on the inside of the tent pissing out than on the outside pissing in.
Right.
And that's about as cogently put as I've seen thus far. Because this was, you know, Ben Burch started this program by saying this is extortion. This was they would have given Scooter anything he wanted, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Anything. I mean, it's a commutation. They offered commutation, and Scooter was so terrified of hearing the door slam behind him that he took the first offer. He could have held out for a pardon.
And they probably would have gotten away with it.
And they would have given him a pardon. They would have given him a home in the country and a river of beer flowing over his grandmother's paisley shawl had he asked.
They'll give him a suite of rooms in, where is that, Argentina or Bolivia or something?
Paraguay.
I'm sorry, Uruguay. They're building that big old compound down there.
Yeah.
They can give him a suite of rooms down there because, you know, if it comes down to it, that's where they're going to just wind up.
Scooter Libby had the goods. Scooter Libby still has the goods. If I was Scooter Libby, now that I'd had my sentence commuted, I would change my name and move to somewhere that I thought those no good bastards couldn't find me. Because you know what? I wouldn't be surprised. Do you remember Ken Lay?
Oh, sure. Assuming he's actually dead.
Assuming he's dead and not living with Elvis, exactly. But the fact of the matter is, people who have gotten on the bad side of the Bush family. Rotten things tend to happen to them. Go ask Manuel Noriega. Go dig Saddam up and ask him what happens when your relationship with the Bushes goes south.
Is Noriega still in prison, or have they executed him?
They didn't execute him.
So he's still languishing in some prison somewhere.
I do believe. I'm not sure.
You know,
God, he should.
And, of course, the reason why they took him out was because him being a CIA operative, he had a few goods of his own. You know?
Right.
They're a criminal organization, Bob. I've been saying this for 7 years now. It's a criminal organization. It's the next step up. I talk about Martin Scorsese had his three big films, Mean Streets, Goodfellas, and Casino, which dealt with crime organizations at different levels of society. This is the next step up from Casino. This is the really smart crooks, the best crooks in the world, because the best crooks in the world are the than the police, you control the police.
Yeah.
You use the actual law enforcement agents to enforce your law.
Yeah, you buy. Yeah, it's all the Godfather. You know, you buy yourself a couple of police captains. You buy yourself a judge or two, and you make sure every. But see, that's the one joker in this deck. God, I wish we could make this thing stick. I really wish. Judge Reggie Walton has the jurisdiction because he's still got jurisdiction over the probation. He has the jurisdiction to haul him back in and violate his ass. I don't mean that literally. I mean figuratively. And impose a prison term on him as a probation violation. God, that would be fun to see.
Well, you know, what I'll do is I have a diary thing on Daily Coast. I haven't written there in ages because every time I write something, like I said, somebody gets pissed off. So I will write.
Well, lay off the Croatians, will you?
Yeah, I know. But I will write that up, and we'll see how they respond. And I bet you 5-1 I'll get 10 nasty messages saying you did it the wrong way. You didn't use it, and you didn't hang around for 7 hours to talk about it too. That's the other thing you got to do.
Well, I'm sorely tempted. I don't know. I'm gonna write this up and see if it gets.
You know, the question I've had for the last 7 years was, what are we gonna do? You know, and people, and I hear people, and I love them to death. Some of the people in the Bark Cop chat room have the rose colored glasses on, and they're like, they're going down now, and they're like, oh really? Have they gone down yet?
Well, yeah, exactly, and the thing you hear from the Democrats is, you know, we've got to get our veto-proof majority in 08. Well, if you get a Democratic president, you don't need a veto-proof majority, you just need a majority.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you need the 60 in the Senate so you can actually get something done without them filibustering, like the Employee Free Choice Act. I understand all of that. But it's like they think there's going to be a Republican president. They're not. There's not. You know, I don't. Fred Thompson, the Mitt Romney. You know, Mitt got taken down by his dog.
Yeah.
Mitt is. John McCain slashed his campaign staff today.
He only raised like $2 million. What did Barack Obama raise? $32 million.
Yeah.
And from how many people? I mean, that's the big key there. A lot of small donors.
Well, he's employing the Dean model.
Sure.
And
Hillary's still there, and Hillary's strong, and, you know, is she a true liberal? No. Is Barack Obama a true liberal? No. Dennis Kucinich is probably the only true liberal, but as I've pointed out, you know, I have my own reasons not to vote for him, although if he gets the nomination, hell yeah, you know, I'm all for him. And I really think there's one person, and I mentioned this on the show, there is one person in this country who, if he steps in, he will immediately become the front runner. He will immediately raise more money than anybody else, and that is Mr. Albert Gore.
Who may not even have to raise any money.
That's right.
Who can finance his own.
Because Mr. Gore has the experience and he has the vision. And I think, you know, the guy he ought to pick as the number two is Wes Clark.
Well, okay. I mean, no.
And I think a lot
of... But maybe that's why Wesley Clark is hanging back.
Could be. But, you know, Gore could pick Kucinich as the number two, and that would be great. Gore could pick John Edwards as the number two, and that would be great. And I really think that Governor Dean is doing a very good thing slowly but surely. And I keep trying to explain to people, and nobody listens, that it takes time to build up these political movements. It took the right wing, with all the money and all the effort they put into it, it took them 30 years to get to this point. It didn't happen that way overnight.
It started election night 1964.
1964. And it really
back when Hillary, by the way, back when Hillary was a Goldwater girl.
That's right. So, you know.
Yep.
And it's going to take us about the same amount. I mean, and if you look at all the progressive movements in this country, they first started in the period, the modern progressive movement began in the period right after the Civil War. They reached their first level during the Teddy Roosevelt years.
Their second level during the FDR years.
And then 30 years later, after Teddy Roosevelt left the Republican Party, then you had the New Deal, which was huge. I mean, you know, people, if you look back at history, that was a tremendous swing. And not just in 32, but in 34, when the Republicans were fighting back and people were just fed up with them and they threw them out in huge numbers. And the Democrats controlled the country for a long time for a very, very good reason. But FDR was not a crazed psychopath. Did he abuse his authority at times? Yes. Did he do things that you know, he should have regretted? He probably did regret? Yes. But you know something? He was an intelligent person who understood his role in the world and America's role in the world, whereas here we have a psychopath being led by an even bigger psychopath.
Or a sociopath being led by a psychopath.
Well, you know, Bush doesn't care. You know, Bush is like, I'm going fishing. I caught a big fish today.
Oh, now, see, I've got my story. I got my little Washington Post story here today, Joe. It says he don't even go play golfing no more.
Yeah, oh, poor George.
He's so upset and nobody loves him.
Well, you know what? And it's like, look, I would be perfectly happy if the SOB would just go to his damn ranch and clear brush for the rest of his life. So long as he stays the hell out of our way. You know, he can have his stupid money. He can have his stupid ranch. He can, you know, go out there and fall down on Segways all his life if he wants and fall off the couches eating peanuts and pretzels. He can do that all his life if he wants. Just get the hell out of our way. Just get the hell out and leave us the hell alone. Because you don't need any more than what you got. And you don't understand that.
None of them do.
None of them do. And it's all insane. And going back to the Melian dialogues in Thucydides, what did he say about people who have money? People who have X amount will always want twice X.
Yeah.
And it's an obsession. And I've seen it in small ways when I worked in sales. People are like, well, I got this sale, but I could have gotten an even bigger sale. And they almost like hit themselves over it. And they can't stand the fact that they didn't do as much as they thought they could do. And that's what these guys are doing, just on a much, much bigger scale.
Well, Joe Wilson has chimed in. He says, from my viewpoint, the president has stepped in to short-circuit the rule of law and the system of justice in our country. In so doing, he has acknowledged Mr. Libby's guilt for, among other things, obstruction of justice, which by definition is covering up for somebody in a crime. By commuting his sentence, he has brought himself and his office into reasonable suspicion of participation in an obstruction of justice.
And, you know, all this reminds me of with the first George Bush, the Christmas Eve pardon.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned that, Cap Weinberger, all to keep the first George out of the hoosegow.
It's a crime family, man. It's a crime family. It's the ultimate mafia don. Damn it, I can't think of his name. Marlon Brando. From The Godfather, he would, you know.
Yeah, Don Corleone.
Don Corleone would just get a hard on thinking about all the power that the Bush people have. I mean, he only bought a senator here and there. Okay, Mr. Bush, you know, is capable of sending his thugs, his Luca Brasis, over to Iraq. Okay, he's got thousands of them. They're called the U.S. Marines, and I feel bad for him because they get filled with all these notions of honor and loyalty, and then they just get taken advantage of. Because you know what? They're not human either in Bush's eyes.
No, they're toys.
They're to die for them, so that, you know, die for Bush and their people, so that they can make more money.
I hate them, Joe. I just hate them.
And I really don't know what to do anymore. The American people have to rise up en masse in a huge, huge fashion. And quite frankly, like you said earlier, I don't think they're capable of it. And even when they do, because, you know, some of these protests before the Iraq war started to try to get them to stop were much bigger than some of the Vietnam protests. They were bigger than the Martin Luther King's famous speech. You know, there were more people there than that. What did the newspapers say? Well, a few people showed up. Oh, and there were a few people who were against it. There was like maybe there were 2 million people anti-war and 10 people pro-war, and they gave equal numbers to equal time to both sides. Remember the site of C-SPAN covering the pro-war thing that the Free Republic was hosting?
Yeah.
There were, what, maybe a half dozen people sitting in those seats listening to enraged speeches? And mm-hmm. they got what, hours of coverage on that?
Yeah.
So, you know, and meanwhile, you know, 2 million people, well, you know, here's them. There you go. You don't matter.
Yeah. Both sides were represented. Right. Hey, Joe, we got to roll on, brother.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
Thank you, Joe.
I'll see you tomorrow morning.
All right, later. Bye-bye. The working man's thinking man, Joe Vecchio. Every morning on the horn at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. It's about 5 minutes before the hour. It's time to bail out. A note from our good friend Alan the Trucker. He says, my truck's in the shop with my cell phone in it, or else I'd call in and tell you how angry I am over these hypocrites in the White House. Yeah, Alan, I know. I know, brother, I know. And the anger's not going to go away. Agnes showed me an on-instant poll at MSNBC or some such. 81% of the people said, what? So, you know, that's doesn't matter. Because, like Joe said, we're not human to the Imperial Bush family. Dum dum a 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 dum. Yeah, Star Wars stuff. I'm really glad that Peter Godbold is following this program, because maybe it'll help for me to sit and listen to somebody else's take on some of this, if he chooses to address it, as opposed to just sitting here and festering in my own stew. Because this isn't getting any better. And it won't be any better tomorrow. And reading any portion of the Declaration of Independence tomorrow on the air is going to hang in my craw like a bone. A true bone in the throat. Agnes says there's no sense in reading it. America was a nice experiment while it lasted, wasn't it? We'll think about trying to take it back, but I don't think we can until people get off their asses. Until it affects them too, even though this does. That's it. Thanks, everybody, for putting up with me tonight. I'm sure I was not exactly good company. Thanks, Agnes. I was the least good company of all to you, dear. Thanks to our engineer, John Fox. Thanks for some mighty fine words to the hardest working man in liberal talk, Ben Birch, over at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you, Ben. You can abuse the dump button anytime you want to, brother. Peter Godbold and Strictly Confidential, week number 3 begins in a matter of minutes. Peter, there's no news, so we'll be going straight to you, brother. And always, God, I know how mad you'd be. RMR, Gina, it's all for you.
Wednesday night prayer meeting on Head On with Bob Kincaid opens up a whole new realm of spirituality. Touch others, reach out, and touch faith. Join Brother Bob every Wednesday night for prayer meeting services here in the Tabernacle of Common Sense. Only on the Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
I'm getting so sick of hearing people try to minimalize what's going on. And China's up to it now, too. This idea that, you know, we're going to try and make moves, but not at the detriment to our economy. Hello! How many times do I have to say this? No planet, no economy. No planet, no business. No planet, no commerce. Drives me absolutely insane. And like I said last week, we have George W. Bush pressuring the G8 to soften their language while at the same time making public statements to tell the G8 to get with the program. Excuse me? What bloody planet are you on?
Join me for Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. Moving to 10 a.m. weekdays, Monday, June 18th, here on the Head On Radio Network. Most people I know.
Brought to you by the Republican National Committee. George W. Bush, Maximum Decider.
Next time you see a stranger on a plane, a stranger with those swarthy looks we all know, ask yourself, shouldn't I be afraid? Maybe he wants to kill me. Maybe he hates me.